The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
Carr trips to the right. Quarterback drops back. Pumps to the right. Looks down the middle. Throws to the middle. Ball is batted around. Picked off on the deflection. Vince Wilfork has it. And the Patriots are going to seal it.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Just like that, the game was over. But it wasn't over till it was over. And that's what has all Patriots Nation a little bit worried today. This offense isn't what we thought it was going to be. So we're on the ledge, but I'm telling you,
jump.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. We'll talk about why. At least we'll talk about why there's hope that it's going to be fine. We don't know. No one knows. But
I'm interested to hear that.
But we'll see.
I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
We'll always think it's going to be fine. The offense is always fine to you.
Not necessarily the offense. I just think that there's not enough teams that can take advantage. So I think in that regard.
So they're going to the Super Bowl?
No.
By saying that, he's taking a shot at the whole league because he thinks the whole league stinks.
No, I don't think the whole league stinks. I think there are some good teams in the league. To answer your question, Andy, no. I don't think they were going to the Super Bowl, but I didn't think they were going before the season either.
But a lot of people did.
That is true.
And that is why a lot of people are sort of reassessing what they thought of this team.
Sure.
I thought they were going to the Super Bowl.
I still do.
Defense, I thought the defense would be better. And I know people are going to say, well, it is. Well, I'll let you know when they play somebody that has
an
offense.
Right. That's fair.
Is that the kind of laugh that you think?
Yeah. And right. And so you need to ride the levels, Kevin.
I don't ride the levels.
So now I'm not allowed to laugh?
When Andy puts the microphone in his mouth.
Like, I don't actually put it
like
in my mouth.
Like some type of act. And laughs, we need to ride the levels.
I didn't know it was an act. I laughed. Am I not allowed to laugh? Okay, apparently it's very serious, no laughing on this show.
I think it's funny, and you can laugh all you want to me.
I can't laugh?
No, you can laugh, but it's very loud. And
but how's he going to know I'm going to laugh until I laugh?
I don't know.
He's got to ride the levels.
Isn't there some type of thing on microphones where, or not on the microphone, but actually on the board, that it won't let
it doesn't work.
An individual person get above a certain level?
I get that on my TV, too. It says commercials, it won't let them get louder, and it never works.
Doesn't work.
Always sound louder.
Do you have that?
Yeah. Well, supposedly. It says it has it. It doesn't work. Where was I?
I don't know.
Before you interrupted me because I had the audacity to laugh.
The audacity.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I thought they were a Super Bowl team, and right now they're not a Super Bowl team.
Oh, no, I don't
They're
think
not
they
a contender.
Are. No. But the question is there hope to get better?
Yes, there's always hope.
Okay, so give me why.
Well, because Bill Belichick is an outstanding coach,
like,
and his teams generally get better.
Is there always hope for any team to get better,
yes,
or for this team to get better?
I think every team gets better every year.
I think every team does, and Bill says that all the time, but especially this team, because I think their track record is such that they're going to get better. They're going to play better football later in the season than they do early in the season. There's very, very few exceptions to that rule. 2009, I think, would be one of them. But for the most part, November, just look at the numbers. So the numbers speak for themselves. November and December, this team generally plays better football than it does early in the year.
But I don't even want to get to that. I think every team on every level,
every team is
high
gonna
school,
get
college, when you start the year, you're at one level, and through practices and
relative.
Games,
every team is doing
exactly.
Right.
Well, that's why I want to eliminate the record.
That's Bill's point.
I'm not going to assume their record will be better after November, like it always is. I'm saying they will be better. I don't know if that's good enough, but they just themselves in a cocoon on the practice field, whatever, they will
terror?
Be better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that'll be good enough.
But normally, Paul, when we're talking about the Patriots getting better later in the season, it's the defense we're talking about.
That's true.
It's the offense.
The offense generally,
even in 07,
the offense generally starts off better, and then, you know.
If this is going to slow down late in the year.
I think that's generally a trend, I think, around the league, is offense usually starts off at a very high level. And, you know, even some of the record-setting attacks, they sort of slow down a little bit as the season goes on. You get, a lot of them are speed-based. I think you get worn down. You get a little bit tired.
Down.
You get the film out there.
The
so defenses get to figure out.
I think that's a big one.
Weather comes in.
Right.
And we saw it even with the record-setting 2007 offense here in New England. You are absolutely right, Fred. 38, 38, 38. By the end, it was, you know, high 20s. Mm-hmm. I think even 21 game.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get into the playoffs, you're 21-9, and you lose 17-14. So the points clearly came down. You didn't hit 30 in the postseason after you averaged, 38 or something that year. You didn't hit 30 in three playoff games.
Now, luckily, this year, it could be the opposite. The offense could get better because there's no tape to go on. They don't have enough plays.
Oh, I thought he was going to say, and the defense gets worse. Where are we going?
I think the defense will also get better, assuming they stay healthy. But I think the offense, it could be the I think they could get better, and it has to be. I mean, it can't get much worse than right now. And, you know, I go over it and over it, and I know everyone's talking about Brady decline and receivers that can't get on board, or if Brady shuts them out because he doesn't trust them. But right now, you have to start with the offensive line. I think that is the key. I mean, because all these other things don't even matter if the O-line isn't playing well.
Correct. And like our little debate, Paul and Andy. Should we throw more? Should we run more? Well, it doesn't matter if the O-line's going to suck.
If Brandon LaFell all of a sudden gets it tomorrow, it won't matter if the offensive line doesn't start playing better. And it's not. That's clear. And now you get into why. You know, is it a talent thing? Is it a coaching thing? Is it a health thing? And, you know, very rarely does Bill Belichick even mention injuries in a press conference. And the word banged up came in to play on Sunday after the game when he was talking about the offensive line.
But it was unclear to what he was referring
to. We don't know who and to what degree.
Now, because it was sort of in the answer about the Devy Stork switch.
Yeah, I don't know what
he
was talking about.
For all I know, Nate Solder's hurt, and that's why he's getting beat like a drum off the edge.
Right.
Right? Like, he may have kind of been sort of generalizing about the group health. And, I mean, we saw, you know, Vollmer every once in a while gets up from a play and he's creaking. And Solder had something at some point, right?
I don't know.
Not that I know of.
There was,
in
camp. There was confusion.
Oh, in camp, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he dealt with a little something.
He walked off the training camp field one day.
But I thought he was hurt before that.
He may have been.
Yeah.
You know, as they say, I'm sure that, you know, they're all dealing with stuff.
I mean, but I don't think Jordan Devy was hurt, is my point. The health that he's talking about, I'm not sure it's Jordan Devy.
But Jordan Devy might be in there because
I don't think the struggles are health related in any way. I mean, unless you want to say Ryan Wendell is the answer, because he's missed the last two games injury, and I don't think
if
that they want to play.
Hurt, I mean, if he has a back injury that he's barely able to move, then I can say that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the personnel on the field, I think, is what you have.
Yeah.
And
but I think that if Brian Stork, who's been hurt, and they think is better than Connolly at guard, that makes a big difference because there's a ripple effect there. Stork comes in, Connolly can play guard, which maybe he's better suited at. That takes out Devy, you know, so now you're getting your best five on the field.
I think you're going down that road. I think Stork is going to be starting one of these games, and I think Devy will be out and Connolly will be at guard.
Right.
Now, Paul will say, well, what about Cannon?
No, I say, what about Wendell? I say, is Stork better than Wendell?
I assume so.
Well, I think that's why they drafted him, because I don't know if he's better, but they wanted to get somebody better than Wendell.
Well, they want to move on from Wendell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except they didn't.
But I need to see that he's better than him.
Right.
I haven't seen him play. He plays 10 or 12 snaps a game.
Well, your guy Greg Bedard tweeted out I think just moments ago, that he is sold on Stork. He's seen enough. He knows he's well coached. He's ready to go with Brian Stork.
He knows he's well coached. What does that mean?
How can
that's what
argue?
He said.
How can you argue with that?
No, but what does that even mean?
Nothing.
I know he's well coached.
That's his tweet.
By the way, if he's well coached, so is the guy he's competing with.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Right.
Wendell
now,
or
now,
whoever.
Besides health and besides talent, I do think, and I know that I forget who was saying it. It might have been Belichick. It might have been Solder after the Miami game, that there are no communication isn't the issue. I disagree, because a lot of times when you see guys coming in untouched, especially from the interior, that's a communication problem.
Generally.
Rarely do guys from the up the middle come in untouched.
Did you see that?
Generally.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I saw, you know, a lot of times Brady would, and the guy would just be there from the interior. And where did he come from? And to me, that's all communication.
I would agree with your description. I don't remember seeing any runaway rushers, to be honest with you. I see guys beating their blocks consistently, but I don't remember seeing guys coming clean.
If it wasn't clean, it was way too easy. A guy turned around and all of a sudden
I'm with you on that too.
He can chip him, but he wasn't in position to really make the clean block.
I thought there was a buddy, Mike Reese, had a little blog post that he put up, I think, either yesterday or maybe early today. Remember there was a play late in the game. It was a 3rd and 22, and it was a 3rd and 15 after the LaFell pass interference, and they got 22 yards with Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm. It was they got fourth, 27
fourth
yards.
Fourth quarter, it was 22. It was the longest play of the day they had.
I thought it was 27.
I confused the numbers. It was not 3rd and 22. It was 3rd and 15. They got 22. That's why I was just trying to, because I didn't want to further
you sure it wasn't
things.
3rd and 22 and they got 27? Okay.
You two argue, I'll go to the game book.
but here's the thing, is they had a situation with, and Mike pointed out that they had Vereen and Bolden in the game as split backs, and they both chipped the edges. And this might be some of the stuff they have to do to get the time, because Brady had a clean pocket, plenty of time, ends up firing the best player of the day to Gronkowski for a first down. My argument to that would be, it was a three-man rush, and you needed seven to protect. If what Mike is saying, I didn't go back and look at the play, but I trust Mike. Mike is as thorough as anybody.
Picked up 22. 3rd and 15, he got 22.
And it was in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, to me, the concerning thing to start right back to your original question, Fred, is it talent? Is it communication, coaching? Is it injuries? To me, it gets back to a talent thing. If you can't block three guys with seven, we got issues.
But are we... Did they
that's
fall?
What we need. That's what we need to do to get a 3rd and 15 off. Is we need to have seven guys blocking three.
But so the difference is Mankins. Is that what?
And Skarnecchia
threw them off the cliff. But
I mean, you made a change.
But it's
in
the
your
same
coach.
Guys.
It's not just Mankins.
It's basically the same guys.
Yeah, but therefore, you know, the coaching has to be a part of it.
And it's the same scheme and the same terminology and the same everything.
I know, right.
But the two changes are Mankins and Skarnecchia. Those are your obvious, they were here, they're not here, you stink.
I just, like Paul said, I just can't believe that all of a sudden you can't block three guys because you have a new coach. I'm not buying it.
Well, I think they have two different guys in there that haven't been. First of all, with Cannon and Devy.
Yeah.
And I think those two guys are losing a lot of one-on-one battles, especially Devy.
But you can't discount little things. No. Film study with Skarnecchia as opposed to film study with DeGuglielmo.
And maybe
film study with Mankins as opposed to Mankins not being there as the leader. And, you know, little things. You know, maybe he says, oh, you see what the tell he has when he's going outside. You know, they're little things, but they're little things that the one time you don't notice it and Khalil Mack beats you off the edge and runs through Brady,
right,
that matters. It becomes a major glaring thing.
Somebody tweeted out, I don't know who it was yesterday, said, you know, so Skarnecchia was here for like 30 years. Didn't they even like write something down while he was here so they'd remember it?
Well, see, the biggest flaw with the Skarnecchia argument is, do we know he's gone?
Right.
Do we know he's not doing anything on any, because he certainly had a role in the spring. Are we sure he doesn't have a role now at once a week he comes in and goes over, so whatever.
Right.
But it's Mankins and DeGuglielmo are the obvious changes that have led to, on some level. But I don't, it's still hard for me. I still sarcastically say about Solder, oh, because Mankins isn't lined up to the right of him, he suddenly can't block off the edge. Like, that feels like an excuse. It doesn't really.
And it is interesting, you know, if maybe Solder is dealing with something physically, and that's really, because that would even be worse to me, is that physically he can't do it.
Right.
You know, from a physical standpoint, it's not that he's playing badly. He physically can't, like Andy threw out a back, if he's dealing with a bad back.
Well,
or something
if we
like
see
that.
Vollmer moving over to left, Cannon at right, and then mixing up the inside, we'll know you're right, because he's hurt, you know. I don't know.
But we haven't.
But
we don't even have an injury to go. We're totally speculating.
Right.
We're taking one sentence in a post-game press conference and extrapolating 8 miles off of it.
Who's hurt? How much?
Right.
You know, and normally I would say, well, I hope that there's something physically bothering him that he's that he's hurt, because, you know, I hope he's just not playing badly. But if there's something physically bothering him and it's, you know, not something we expect to get better, then that's, you're sort of stuck with what you have. That would be my,
but I think, I think that's it right there. You got to get this O-line playing better, or nothing else matters. Running the ball, throwing the ball, doesn't matter.
It was the first ever, total argument between Andy and I that resulted in a draw. It was like, no one won. Like, he says they need to run the ball and they can't run the ball from here to there. I say they need to throw the ball and every time Brady drops back, he gets killed. We both lose.
Which do you do more of? Which isn't working?
What do you want to focus on?
Right.
I would go with mine, because at least Brady's alive.
Yep. So we got that going for us. And he's alive, but he thinks they get first downs that they didn't get.
And I think right now, because teams are looking at the tape and they know we can get pressure on this guy, there's no fear from defenses about the big play. You know, he's just not going to have time to hit it. And if he is, he's going to be under duress, and it's probably going to be incomplete. So let's pile up everybody close to the line. Let's challenge everything. You know, let's do what the Jets did 3 years ago when they had the blueprint of funneling everything to the inside, because they're not going to beat us outside the numbers. And so far, that would be a good recipe,
yes.
I would think.
Well, they also, I would say, they don't have the talent. I mean, the personnel. There's nobody to me that you're scared down the field. Like, if you're a DB, I get a drop off a little bit because he could blow right by. There's nobody I'm afraid of. Edelman is the closest thing this team has to a deep threat right now, and he's Edelman.
Well, I mean, at some point, if the Patriots do improve, that long pass will open up, because teams are sucking in and, you know, playing the short game. And for a while, that will work, and then they'll get smart for that, and they'll cover that up. So we will see if the Patriots do improve, that there will be a span where the long game starts to come into play.
But I'm not even talking about bombs. I'm talking about running a 15-yard comeback and the corner being sold that he could run by me, so he's a half a second slow on the comeback.
Right, and there's no one deep to help.
It's
Well, how about even whether you throw them or not, running them a little bit more often? Just, you know, get a guy like Tompkins and just have him run.
Yep.
You know, I've given up on Dobson because evidently, you know.
Well, give it a week. He might be back this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I wrote a little thing off of yesterday off of Bill, talking about Tompkins and Dobson. And I don't really understand. Yeah. I don't understand the personnel decisions.
And again, it doesn't really matter until the offensive line gets better.
But Brandon
LaFell, what point do you help do a healthy sit with Amendola? At what point do you do that?
I don't know, and I'm telling
you. What has he done wrong?
I don't think that
nothing, but it doesn't seem like what he does can help you at this point.
So we're saying that the
but what happens
personnel
if goes
the problem.
Down.
Oh, then the next week, Amendola's
in. What do you do in that
within
game?
The game, you suck it up and improvise. Yeah. I mean, you just can't have a sub for every guy. There's only so many guys on the team.
No, but
I would just like to
pretty much every guy has a sub.
On the team, but they're not all active on game day.
No, they
not
are.
Not all the time.
Yeah, they are.
But pretty much they are. I mean, I would say James Devlin is probably the only guy that doesn't have a real backup.
Well, I think that, you know,
Man
you suck it up.
Backup. Yeah, but you know, I'm saying a true fullback.
You know, you just maybe a couple of plays come out of the playbook, and for that game,
but
you
what
have
if,
to suck
what
it
if
up.
You, I mean, I'm going to assume that most games you go into, Julian Edelman's a big, big part of your game plan.
Yep.
So you're basically saying if he goes down early in the first quarter, like Aaron Hernandez did a couple of years ago, you're screwed. You're going to lose that game because you don't have anybody to play that position.
Maybe. You know, not necessarily, though. You know, you're not going to be able to run everything you did with Edelman. You got to do other things. I mean, you got to get Dobson and KT into the game somehow, you know?
And I would argue that based on his resume Tim Wright should be a backup to Edelman on some level as a slot receiver. He's a different guy, but
he's much slower, not as quick.
No, I know, but well, what is he then?
Right?
Because he's not a tight end, so if he's not a slot receiver, what is he?
He's a hybrid wide receiver tight end.
I just said that, but if he's not quick enough to line up in the slot, I was told he was the Hernandez replacement. That's what everybody told me.
Because I
can tell you, yeah, Hernandez, but
Hernandez
can't.
Can I just take a quick time out?
He can line up in the slot, but he's no Welker or Edelman.
If Edelman got hurt and Hernandez had to play his role, you would be okay.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be elite or great. You'd be okay.
And they thought he was like that. But let me ask you.
But if
you
Tim
this.
Wright can't do that, then what is he?
I understand what you're rant, but people that said that about Tim Wright and Hernandez. You criticize
right.
Them.
That's not
no, I
true.
Know. But what?
No,
is
oh
he?
No, no, no. People said it, but
no, I know
not,
people said it, but we knew that that wasn't the case.
Well, if he's
I
not,
said, I said he had a better chance of replicating him off the field.
If well, and I said,
see
and
now, yeah, now that's
not right because Hernandez had a good shot or something. I said I remember that actual conversation.
Right. I mean,
but what is he then? If he's not a real tight end, an inline guy, then theoretically he is a slot receiver, right?
A big slot receiver. Yeah. Yeah. He lines up in the slot.
Okay, I'm not saying it would be the same. I'm saying he would be the guy that would step in for that game if he's active and replicate that role and play that slot.
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't feel comfortable doing that, then he shouldn't be on the roster. He's not good enough.
Well, I think that he needs to be
if he's only good enough
further,
to...
but I think he needs to be further acclimated. He's probably not completely up to speed only being here a
and
short time.
He doesn't
time.
Need to be completely up to speed. He needs to know the game plan. Doesn't need to know the playbook, he needs to know the game plan. Those are two different things. One's much smaller than the other.
Wow. Okay. Until they call something that you didn't go over that week, and then you're lost.
Well, then that's your fault. But the idea of having a game plan is it narrows the...
No, I know,
the...
but conditions on the ground change.
Right.
And Brady likes...
And so you can't call it immediately, but you can go over it on the sideline.
Sure, sure. Look, Wright might be able to, you know, 70%. Do what a slot receiver on this team does.
Okay, well, that's your fill-in.
And that's what you do.
There's
well,
a reason
that,
you have starters and backups.
Do. Hey, listen, I'm not sitting here trumpeting.
So this,
no, but
this
I'm
gets
not,
back to my
I'm
saying.
I'm not sitting here saying Amendola is
point,
a sacred cow. He can't sit out.
At what point do you sit out Amendola to get somebody on the field who might actually be able to do something?
But who's that? Who are we
yeah,
rushing
I don't think that Amendola
is. Dobson!
Well, but you can play him if you want to.
But then you have to take KT out.
Well, first of all, you don't have to.
And
but
by
second
the way,
of all, don't tell me both of those guys can do something.
And when you
pick
have,
one.
I want to find which one, and I can't
pick
do
one because between the three of them, they've done nothing.
Right.
So don't tell me that you need to have both of them active.
And you throw to each of them once a game.
Right.
Well, that needs to change as well. But again, we go back to the offensive line. It's nothing matters until they start playing better.
Who needs to change?
What? The fact that he's only throwing to them once a game.
Who's he?
I said that needs to change.
What? Who?
Well, it's a person who throws to them once a
game. How does
that
change?
Right.
So who is that?
That's Tom Brady.
So he needs to do what?
Distribute the ball better.
He needs to play better?
Distribute the ball better.
Hmm.
Well, okay, so are we going to get into this discussion now?
Interesting.
That this is because of Brady's decline.
No, that's not what I said. I'm just surprised to hear you say that he had any role in it whatsoever.
Did you read my edit letter?
No.
Okay.
One of the... Perks of the new system.
As Steve Bisciotti would say, you know, read it's all in there. Read it. It's all in there.
Well, I would like to hear you say it since you
true.
Yelled at me for three
weeks. I said Brady would
weeks.
Be the first to admit that he's rushed passes, he's been off on targets.
I'm not sure that's the case.
Oh,
based on what we've seen from Brady over the years, I'm not sure he'd be the first to admit that he did anything wrong.
Oh, Wow.
No sacred cows to
Jeez.
Fall.
See, you know what this is? This is...
I mean, he fumbled 15 the snap
years later,
and didn't take
him getting back at all the people that made fun of Bledsoe.
No.
This is what this is.
Well,
you see? It's just not my guy.
Why do you take it to a different, like a whole different place than we're talking about 2014?
I know.
This has nothing to do with Bledsoe.
Oh, come on.
It has nothing to do with Bledsoe.
No one holds a grudge more than Paul Perillo.
Well, that may be true, but in this case, it's not what I'm talking about.
No, but.
Because I happen to love both of those guys.
No, but are you being, you know, serious? At what percentage of the, blame do you put on Brady right now for this offense?
A big one.
A big one?
Yeah.
The majority?
No. The offensive line gets the majority.
Okay.
51-49?
Maybe 60-40.
Nothing goes into the talent around him?
Okay, now, all right. Now you want to have a Bledsoe conversation?
No, I just want to know.
Is that what you want to do?
So if 60% is offensive line, 40% is Brady.
Because I remember, you know, the Brady aura was created with David Givens and David Patton and Freddie Coleman. And why were those guys good enough to win titles with? And now he can't complete a pass to Danny Amendola for $30 million. You're a $30 million receiver. You can't get him involved in your offense.
I don't know. I'm watching Brady.
Chad Ochocinco, guy who's a perennial Pro Bowler. You bring him here, you can't be. I'm convinced if Emmanuel Sanders was a Patriot, he'd have about five catches.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And to me, though, the thing that frustrates me the most in this whole Brady demise argument is
I don't have anything to fight back with
anymore.
Well,
no, I don't see the physical demise. If there's a demise, it's got to be all mental.
How can you say you don't see a physical demise? He never throws the ball more than 20 yards downfield, Fred. You'd think that's just a coincidence?
And when he does, it's rarely complete.
How can you say that's not physical?
They were saying 10 years ago that Brady has trouble with the long ball. Yes or
and
no?
And you were saying that was a bunch of crap.
But yes or no, were they saying that?
Yes. And you were saying it was crap.
Okay.
So now he can't throw the ball
downfield.
But is it true?
You were the one saying it 10 years
ago. I don't think he was ever a good long ball thrower.
Okay,
so the only time he ever...
Because he's worse now.
Because he's far worse at it now.
He never throws it.
Because he misses
Edelman.
Because
he knows he can't.
Well, I mean, I can think of at least two Edelman throws that I don't think Brady should miss. Regardless of whatever his career proficiency with the deep
ball was. Yeah, but was it because of arm strength?
No. You know? It's not just arm strength, it's accuracy.
Yeah, I think
decision making.
If there's a problem with Brady now, and I think there is,
ooh,
it's mental. It's mental.
But you also think there's a weird physical thing. That whole over the top thing you were talking about.
I think we can
play it in semantics just so you don't have to say he's declining physically. I'll submit.
I don't think he is right now.
No, and I'll submit. If you just want to say he's declining and you just want to say it's mental.
I don't think it's a problem.
I think that he and Manning happen to be the two greatest mentally prepared quarterbacks that will ever play. And to just say he suddenly doesn't think as well
being prepared is one thing.
It's a hard one for
but
me to.
When you get out there, as we know, the best plans, you know, often fail in the face of the opponent. And, you know, when you see the rush,
and you don't
have confidence, you know, in your offensive line, it affects you. You can have the best plan in the world, but if you don't have the time and you don't have the confidence out there, it's not going to work. And I think that's the issue. That's the issue.
Now, I think that a big part of it is physical, but we can move on.
In that he's not as accurate as he used to be?
He doesn't move around as well as he doesn't handle.
He
doesn't handle the rush as well as he used to do. I don't think he stands in and takes the shots that he used to. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Okay.
I mean, 5 years of declining statistics. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's not still great. This is like I heard this argument this morning on local radio on WEEI, and people were saying what I was trying to say, and Jerry Callahan was getting all defensive. Not like, I mean, at least you're talking about it. Jerry was just like, 12-5, they were the NFC championship, God. I mean, you know, it's like you couldn't say anything about Tom Brady without him just screaming at you, saying what their record is. We all know that we're dealing with, if not the best, one of the three best quarterbacks of all time. It's like when we talk about Darrelle Revis. Andy and I have been taking a little heat talking about Revis so far. We've been a little underwhelmed. Now, if they had just signed, I don't know, Tyrone Poole, I wouldn't be underwhelmed with Tyrone Poole performing like Darrelle Revis has the first 3 weeks as a free agent cornerback.
Right.
But I signed what I thought was the best defensive player in football, and he has been okay. He's been fine. He's been competitive. But I thought I was getting more than that. With Tom Brady, I can look and I can say, well, to your point, Fred, a Tom Brady bad day is 24 for 37 for 234 with a touchdown and no picks, you know, for a 91.5 rating. That's not bad.
No, it's bad for
but
him
it's,
because
but I'm
he
talking
left
about
points
Tom,
on the field.
I'm talking about Tom Brady against the worst team in football.
Jamarcus Russell would have killed somebody
less
to
than
get those numbers.
Less than 300 yards. So I'm not saying Brady stinks. He's the problem. But I don't think that he is lifting, you know, what is
no,
it?
No, but you said he's
what
six.
Is it, what is that, a rising tide lifts all boats?
Yes.
I don't think he's doing that anymore.
I agree.
And that physically he's declining. I think he's a big part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because this offense has been so reliant on him, I don't think he's there to do it anymore.
Yep.
I think we're seeing the signs of that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm overreacting to three games. Certainly wouldn't be the first time I've overreacted to something.
I'm with Fred. I or you, whichever one of you, you were doing your 60-40s, I need to include personnel in there somewhere. I don't think there's a lot of talent on this team. The more I watch it, and even in the summer, you know, like you watch it and you're like, LaFell doesn't really look that good. He's nothing special. Dobson's nothing special. And even worse, not only are they nothing special, they don't have the Givens or the Patton thing where they'll at least make plays occasionally. They've yet to find a guy.
I don't think much difference between those guys. I mean, I think that Edelman and Troy Brown are very similar. And I think that
Edelman's producing.
The Pattons and the Givenses of the world are very comparable players to Dobson and Tompkins, and he's just not getting the ball to them like he used to do.
I think they were better. I think they were good.
Throw Deion Branch in there.
He was good.
Yeah. Deion Branch was a good player.
Yeah.
But I think David Givens was a very good player. I don't think anybody on this roster right now, other than Edelman, can hold his jock.
I think Tom Brady made those guys.
What I liked about David Givens,
good players.
You know, he wasn't like a 10-catch guy, but he was reliable in big situations.
And none of these guys have shown the ability to do that. In a short span, admittedly, 2 years for some of them, less than a year for some of them here.
But like Amendola and LaFell with other teams showed the ability to be Givens.
Yeah.
Amendola,
I guess. I don't know that.
I actually think LaFell was better in Carolina than Amendola was.
See, I don't
Amendola
know that,
was always
really.
Hurt.
I mean, I can look at numbers and say a guy had 46 catches. But I saw Givens make those catches, you know, in the third quarter with the game still in question against a pretty good defense where you need. I don't know if Amendola ever made a lot of plays for a team that sucked.
He made plays.
For a team that. No. There's a difference between putting a play on the stat sheet and making a play.
Yeah.
You know, we joke about it with Edelman as a punt returner.
I don't know.
Here's where he proves whether he has a knack for a punt return. And he has shown over his career that just because he fair caught the first couple or was all of a sudden you get a 30-yarder that puts you on the plus side of the 50, you know, in the fourth quarter. That's a play. That's not the same as just a 30-yarder from the 10 to the 40 in the first quarter, in my opinion. You know, there's plays to be made. Givens made them.
I hear you.
I'm like Brady. I got no faith in any of these guys to make a play when I need it. If anything, I assume they're going to make a play that's going to screw us up somehow.
But I thought one of the telling things, because, you know, if you go in camp, I think we can get a direct quote about how Brady was lauding all these receivers that he had.
Yep.
And then, Monday morning on EEI where he says, you know, no one's making any plays in this offense. And somebody said Edelman. He goes, all right, that's one guy.
Right.
We got one guy making plays.
Right.
You know, and boy, he would never have said that in the past.
And I agree with him.
Yeah. But is you know, could that be part of what Paul is saying is, yeah, okay, we'll give you that these guys aren't as good, but, you know, you're part of it too.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I would include him as not as good. He's not making plays. He's not rising the tide.
You know, he would
but
never
I also
have said that in
Shane
the past.
Vereen. I also include Stephen Ridley. I also include Brandon LaFell.
Vereen's a guy that I think.
I include Gronk, by the way, right
well,
now.
Well, you know what? You pause.
I think
you're
Shane
right.
Vereen's a guy, and I was thinking about using him. We were talking about the TV show.
Kevin Falk catches the one behind him, spins around, and makes sure
that
it's
was
an
a
eight yard.
That was a terrible throw that was mistimed in way behind him upon further review. At the time, I just thought it was one of those he looked up and it was on him, but it was not only he looked up and it was already on him, it was about 3 yards behind him, too.
But you think, who has a better chance to catch that, him or Kevin Falk?
I've never seen Vereen make that catch.
Right.
And I thought
so
that
if
he was
all
the
of
kind
those
of guy
guys
that could.
Are 15% less than the comp from a different time
I'm
in the era,
to say that.
Then you're not as good.
I don't think Vereen's
including
as good as
Brady, by
I
the
don't
way.
Think Vereen's
he's
as good as Falk.
15% less than he was 5 years ago. Well, across the board, you're not that good if everybody's worse.
But I just, you know, and this is getting back to Freddie, and I know you were making a joke and teasing me about the Bledsoe thing, but this is where I get back to the Bledsoe thing. This is awfully similar. We talked about this a lot last week. This is awfully similar to 1999 in 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he can't protect him. He's got
Holds
no one
the
to
ball
throw to. All he's got is coats.
Yeah, but see, the problem.
He's forced to take sacks because these guys can't get open and they can't run the ball and the defense can't bail him out. And at some point, it's got to be partly on the quarterback. It's got to be. Now, again, Brady is starting at a level that far exceeds Bledsoe. So let's please not compare the two as quarterbacks. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the criticism of both was non-existent because all of the excuse makers, and I was one of them.
Right.
And I am one of them now with Brady, maybe not today, but I have been one of them with Brady over the past several years. I can tell you right now, I have a much different look of the 2007 Super Bowl than I did at the time. At the time, I put it all on the defense. You had the lead. Brady took you down there and got the touchdown. Defense needs to stop him. Well, that was the one exception of the offense not scoring. Now I have more data to go on. That's a trend now. When they get to the playoffs, they don't score. When they get the game that they lose, they don't score. At the time, that was a one-time blip where they just scored 14 points in a year that they averaged 38. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So as time has gone on, but I was very defensive of Brady. What do you want him to do?
But that was 7 years ago, and certainly Brady wasn't on decline then. You know, that to me, that was an offensive line failure in that game.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. I don't think Brady played a bad game that day. Now, I don't think Brady played all that well in the other Super Bowl. I thought he played really well in the first quarter and the third quarter. He played terrible in the second and the fourth. Mm. And that's
I started the game with that safety.
I can't have that out of my quarterback.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Foods here. Who bought lunch today, Kevin?
Pat Nagawam.
Wow, Pat. Thank you very
much.
Love
you, Pat.
Write in, if you will.
It's in the web radio inbox.
Okay, so we'll take a quick break. When we come back, a lot of calls, obviously, a lot of emails. Everyone wants to get in on this. We're going to let you. We'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. Here's another great moment in PFW in Progress history.
I got a dog coming up. I have a new primary because my old one changed. And I had sort of an arrangement with my old doctor, you know.
Like, don't ask, don't tell.
You know, yeah, you know, like my cholesterol probably could use a little help. You know, and it's like, Paul, you really need to, you know, you need to lose a few pounds. And we had this sort of arrangement. We're okay with that. She knew that I wasn't really going to try to lose a whole lot of weight. But, you know, as long as I, you know, sort of pretended to make an effort.
Yeah.
Now I got to see a different doctor today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm afraid I'm going to get read the riot act.
She's going to say, your BMI is 72, sir.
Really? Based on our calculations here, you should be dead.
Right.
That's what I'm a little worried
your
about.
Your blood diet Pepsi levels are all off.
Yes.
Right.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I hope you make it.
All right. Goodbye, Paul. Let's finish up. Yep. This is it. This could be it.
It was a privilege knowing you, Paul.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that? But it's funny, sort of, but like...
It's not real.
The whole thing in medicine is they want to catch things early.
Right!
He's got kids now.
He could find out that had they actually looked, he was dying 10 years ago.
Right.
Now he's got 3 months.
No, like, yeah, I agree.
They kind of know I'm not going to try to do anything.
And isn't his wife a nurse?
Yes!
Yeah, she should be pushing
yes.
him.
Yes.
I would be like,
I don't think she wants to know either.
No, I would add stress to her.
I would be strapping him down and wheeling him in to try to.
She's given up.
It used to be every February she would put him on some sort of diet, but she gave up.
Yeah. I mean, if you just do like a very unofficial survey, like you go to a nursing home,
yeah,
there are no fat men in nursing homes.
No, I agree with you.
It's just not. You don't see fat old men.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Finish this the right way.
Oh.
21 gun salute for Paul.
During that whole bit, Paul is completely unfazed. I look over, he's eating pizza, completely unfazed about the whole thing. He could care less. Tony writes in, he disagrees with Paul. Bledsoe had weapons in 99, Brown, Glenn, and a healthy tight end. So I think by 99, Ben Coates
was dead.
Was being called for
Ben
offensive
Coates was a year away from being out of the league.
Right, right. So, let's go to the phones, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Also the email webradio@patriots.com. We got a lot of those coming in. Everyone is just, they're amped up. They're ready to go. They want to talk about this. We'll start with the other Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Rapid fire some things. This game was not too distant from the realm of possibility. If you remember the Cleveland Browns last year, we had to recover an onside kick, obviously something we haven't done in a very long time, and score a touchdown just to get the W in that game. The feelings toward the ugly win are summed up in Gronk's quotes and Eric's good point after article. Check that out. In terms of the other stuff in the NFL, John Rook's latest article is spot on with issues like criminal activity, the stuff going on around the league. Check that out. Mankins and Pats are both suffering from Mankins not taking a pay cut. Wish you were here. The Edelman flip, the Brady block, and the Vince Wilfork interception made that game even remotely enjoyable. And my question to you guys, and I was thinking about this, in terms of shotgun situations for the Patriots right now, would you, in the halfback spot, put Devlin in to help block in just passing situations, and then occasionally you could slip him out for a catch or whatever, but much better than Vereen or Ridley to just give that extra layer of protection to Brady?
All right, thanks, Dave. What do you think about that, using Devlin as that?
No, because I know he's bigger, but that's what Shane Vereen is paid to do. It's what he was drafted to do. It's what he did in college. He's been a third-down type back for his football life. If he can't pass protect, that's another example, kind of like he can't catch and make plays. He's not the guy. It's a personnel issue. I mean, James Devlin has been a fullback for like a year and a half. Yeah. You're going to tell me he should be better suited to know where the pressure is coming from and step up to fill it? No, he shouldn't be. He's a work in progress.
Dave also mentions a lot of good content on Patriots.com that people should check out. But thank you.
I admire Dave for being that upbeat. And I'm not making – this is not a snarky, sarcastic in any way, being that upbeat after that game. How you could – I mean – two of the three plays that he mentioned to me were, I mean, like Will Fork catching a deflection off of the Raiders' chest. I mean, that's what we relied on to avoid overtime. I mean, to me, I admire it. I admire being that upbeat after a game like that.
And the Edelman one, I think you can actually include in. This guy's going to get killed. And by the way, did you notice Edelman even talked about it?
Yes.
He needs to take less hits.
Foolish down the goal line.
If I'm going to make it through 16, I got to take less hits. Yeah, and I was like, wow, he's already thinking about he's getting his ass kicked.
Well, maybe somebody pulled him aside. Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
That was just a fantastic bit by Kevin. I think all of Patriot Nation needs that. So thanks, Kevin. You know, very frustrated, and I'm very frustrated with what Paul wrote about in regards to the whole Thompson thing. For a team that does nothing but preach, stringing practices together and repetitions together and being out on the field with everybody. What are you doing yo-yoing Tompkins and Dobson at the position? What are you doing?
Yeah, it makes no sense. In a week where Brady said, hopefully this week we can get on the same page and be better, well, it's a different page because it's a different player.
Yeah, I mean, and you yank him. And, you know, I don't understand that. I also don't understand why on the goal line, I don't know if you guys talked about this yet, Ridley not running and they put Vereen in there instead. Now, I know, I'm not saying because Vereen fell, but the one thing I think that Ridley can do is punch it in, and he wasn't in there. Why?
I don't know that we've talked about it. Paul and I talked about it post-game as a curious issue, but and it's one of those things where...
Say, before you go, if it's because of the fumbling... And if they don't want to put him in because of the fumbling, they should be on the team.
Right, and it's not because of, that. Because he's done it a million times.
And they've used him on the goal line this year even at times. The first touchdown Miami. Against Minnesota, Ridley was out there. I don't like the decision. I'm with Christian 100%. They did it against Miami early in the game. They put Vereen in inside the five, and he ran it in twice. Now, it worked. I don't like it. He's not anywhere near as good a goal line running back as Stephen Ridley is. Doesn't make any sense to me. It's another one of those, let's see if we can trick them based on our personnel as opposed to just lining up. When Ridley generally lines it up and just pounds it in, he's very good at that. I think Christian's right on.
It could go back to lack of confidence in the offensive line.
You know, we're going
to
continue with along the lines of the Patriots.com content. Andy and I just worked on a Take Tuesday where we kind of look back, and I think that the possession that Christian might be alluding to happened late in the first half, and there was all kinds of confusion. The Patriots took over. I'm not going to bore you with every single detail here. You can read it as soon as it's posted. I don't think it's up there yet. But
that's why the guy from Connecticut didn't promote it, amongst the other things.
Right, you know, check it out. The Patriots took over on the 50 with 2:45 left and two timeouts. On the 50-yard line, and they had to scramble to call timeout with 3 seconds left to kick a field goal. That's the beginning and the end. And part of that just got botched all along the way. I sort of chronicled that. And it ends up with 1:06 left, they call a timeout. They're on the 9-yard line, I want to say. They ran three more plays. From 1:06 left in a timeout, they got three plays off. Mm. They were huddling. And part of it was Ridley ran on, it was second and six. Ridley ran for what looked to me about 5 yards. The referees moved the ball forward a little bit and gave them the first down. Brady didn't think they got the first down. I know this for a fact because they ran up to the line, quickly handed the ball to Ridley again. He got a yard. They show Brady in the backfield signaling first down. Well, it was second down.
Actually, it's second down, Tom. You already had a first down.
So I know
you didn't, but you did.
I know they got confused on the down in that play.
Didn't even the scoreboard get confused on that one?
Well, on
TV. CBS got confused.
Yeah. But
Greg Gumbel said first and goal, but the graphic on the field said third and one.
Right.
And it had the yellow line and the blue line. You know, the blue line for the line of scrimmage, the yellow line to gain. Andy,
by the way,
that.
Everybody was right except for the officials because it wasn't a first down.
He did not get the first
they
down,
gave
but they gave it to him.
Half a yard.
And that caused them to rush to get another running play off, but that ended up being first and goal.
Right.
Ridley got a yard. Now there's about, I don't know, 58 seconds left, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less. They huddled. They didn't run the next play. They went from like 48 down to 12. Before running the next play, and here's where the Christian run that he's talking about, Vereen gets the ball.
Yeah.
And he got pummeled in the backfield. About four guys
hit him. As you're talking, it's up on the site.
Right.
It's
good
stuff.
It ended up being,
check it out.
It ended up being, they got three plays to close the half in the last 106. And
when they're clicking, that's called eight plays.
None of them were passes. It was completely mishandled, and people will say,
well, the last
one
would have been a pass, but it got rolled.
But again, when you waste the time huddling,
you got to use your pass as a timeout if it's incomplete.
Like to me, on the first play, there was confusion whether or not you got the first down. Okay, so now you get the first down with the Ridley run. In your mind, you're thinking, first down, why are we huddling? Get to the line and call a pass. I think this was another one of those examples where they were trying to trick him with Ridley, and it didn't work. Now suddenly you got a situation where the clock is ticking. We don't know exactly what we're doing. We don't have the right personnel on the field. And you end up having to call a timeout with 12 seconds left.
I think it was Amendola's fault.
I'm sorry, 8 seconds left.
Seems like most everything's Amendola's fault, so let's just blame him.
Well, quick, that's my last
That was the second half.
On the throw to Amendola in the end zone, how did you guys see it? Is it, do you constitute, because I read something this morning that I didn't think was accurate.
I did not think it was a drop. I thought it was just out of his reach.
I thought it was a bad throw.
It was overthrown.
Yeah, I thought it was out of his reach.
And I guess Trent Green on the broadcast said that he put that in the only place that Amendola could catch it.
Not unless he has go gadget arms.
His hands would have been a place that he could have caught.
Now, again, it's so hard for – did Amendola run that route a little too deep? Should he have been a little bit more shallow? I don't know.
Well, he needs to be in the end zone, and he was right over the goal line.
Yeah.
He was right on the goal line. It looked like a perfect – I don't know.
I mean, it could have been just good coverage.
See, that's the thing. If there was a guy that was...
All right, I'll go, guys.
Okay, Christian.
I love when they end them. But
I got to go.
It's one of those that if there were a guy diving in front with the arm out and the throw had to be on the outside of the defender's arm, I would say, well, he put it in the only place that it wouldn't get defended. But that's not what happened. He was open. The throw was too far to the outside.
Yeah.
And if that...
That's not going to
get caught. If Christian's right, or whoever just said it, you know, he thought he was a step slower than he expected. I'm sorry. We can't be that precise. We just can't. We cannot be within 6 inches.
But that's part of what...
Tom expected him to be 6 inches further. No, that's not how it works.
And Andy,
especially when he's not all that accurate. When he can't hit me on a deep ball, then you can't expect me to be within 6 inches. Try to hit me in the hands next time.
That articulates what I'm talking about with the blind defense, though, because I have heard some of that, what he's talking about. And I'm sorry. Andy just said is exactly right. You see the guy running to the outside and you throw the ball. If you're expecting him to be a step slower or faster, that's on you.
Right. So it's on his hip instead of in front.
Exactly.
Right.
Put it within his catch radius, you did not. That's on you.
No, and definitely Amendola had a step. The defender was trailing.
It was a touchdown. It should have been a touchdown.
He was trailing.
I actually think it's one of those where they just make it look easy, except they didn't. Yeah. Like in the past, we would say they just make it look easy. Like that's too easy. A guy just runs a simple out and catches a touchdown.
And by the way, not getting nearly enough attention, the play before that Gronk should have had the deflection, bad throw.
Yes.
It got almost picked off by Woodson, and Gronk was wide open. Put it out in front of him.
Or put it up a little.
Well, he had a number of those throughout the day.
I'd say the
first throw of the day, right? To the right side where he didn't see the linebacker coming out from the inside.
Yeah, I had someone tell me that he threw that intentionally hard so it wouldn't be picked off. That's the kind of like excuse making that you're hearing. And this is the stuff that I heard all the time with Bledsoe.
Who is the somebody?
Stuff, a guy that emails me all the time.
Circle jerks?
You don't need to get into that.
Trey's in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
But a pretty informed fan. Let's put it that way. Although he does refer to him as our Tom.
Good.
So,
first of all, I want to say good morning, and I've been listening to you guys, and you guys cannot put it any better, even though you guys agree to disagree. But, man, what the hell is going on? I mean, I'm looking at, like, so many plays, man, and so many points that were left on the field. All right, man, we're deactivating receivers. We're activating receivers. We're flipping offensive linemen around. I mean, we just can't get it right. And listening to Nate Solder's, I listened to him the other day, I think Monday, yesterday, and after the game, and he was talking. I don't think he gives a damn about blocking. I really don't.
I disagree with that.
He seems to think that he's playing well, and he thinks he's playing well. And if he thinks he's playing well, he's crazy.
Well, you guys talked to Nate Solder after the game. Thanks, Trey. You guys talked to him after the game. What do you think? Do you think that he thinks he's playing well?
No, I do not.
I give him a lot of credit for coming on the show and talking to us, and I don't think that he felt like he was playing well. I think he's excited that the team won the game. I think that his point was that it's not easy to win, and we all agreed. But when you asked him about the pass protection issues, I think he was pretty forthcoming that we have to get better. And when we asked him about running the ball against a bad team, he talked about not necessarily looking at what a team has done. We need to get better. We can't just expect to go out there and run the ball. We got to go out there and do it. I don't think he thinks he's playing well.
John in North Carolina. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, John?
Hey, you guys have never been more wrong.
All right.
Well, we all disagree, so it's probably me that is wrong. And Andy and Fred are not really agreeing with me, so I wouldn't put them in that category.
You keep going back and you're trying to blame Brady. And let me tell you, let me ask you a question first of all so I can get you guys caught up here. Does Bill Belichick have an ego?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. So because the Patriots just a season and a half ago or two seasons ago, I guess, two seasons ago, the year they drafted all the wide receivers, they admitted that they had done a poor job of evaluating wide receivers, you'll remember, and said that they had a problem of translating the college game to the pro game, and they were interested in trying to get Wallace, I think the guy that ended up with the Steelers or whatever. What's his name?
I don't remember any of this.
I have no idea what you're talking about either.
None.
Bill Belichick has said many times.
I vaguely remember him saying, overall, not just this team, but there is a challenge.
He has said that 1,000 times.
Right.
He didn't say we screwed it up. He said
exactly.
The hardest
Two
thing to do
things.
Is evaluate wide receivers coming from college to the NFL.
Right, right.
He didn't say we screwed it up. He said it's the hardest thing to do.
He didn't say we've had a hard time doing it.
We're going in a different direction trying to get NFL receivers instead of...
No, this never happened. So I don't know what you were smoking or drinking.
Not what they said.
No, this never happened.
He said
about
that they were trying
direction.
To do. They were in the midst of doing a redo at the receiver position out of necessity. They lost their receivers.
And they admitted over the years that they had done a poor job. I think it was a Mike Reese article. And they said
they had done a poor job on receivers. Let's move along. What's the point?
What?
What's the point?
Well, the point is, I mean, you guys are going back and trying to blame all this stuff on Brady, on washed-up receivers like Ocho Cinco, and, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's Cinco. He was washed up. He was no good.
Okay.
Which one of those wide receivers left the Patriots and did good?
All right. Let's see here. Deion Branch did pretty well when he left the Patriots, didn't he?
Well, look, if your point, John, is that they're just not getting the right receivers in here...
I agree with him.
You know,
I'm on John's side. If that was his point, he took a roundabout way to get there. I just said, I think personnel. I think we could look back on the redo of the receiver position and say, wow, they couldn't have screwed that up any more than they did.
Yeah, I don't think it's any philosophical change that they had to make.
No, that's just flat out wrong. Let's just dispute
right.
that now. He did not say we screwed. What he says frequently is, the hardest position to evaluate because of the college offenses, because of the defenses they face, and all of that. He has said that almost every year, I think.
Right.
I don't think it happened where he said, we screwed up our evaluation receivers, and we're going to try to get NFL receivers
now.
He's never said that.
And even if that's what he meant, he maybe didn't say it, and that's what he meant. I don't really see what the larger point is. Let me just say that, Andy, you asked me, I mean, Fred, you asked me percentages. You said, what percentage? I said, the biggest part of the blame to me offensively is what?
Brady.
What did I say?
Offensive line.
The 60. Offensive line. I can have Kevin read it back for you. Well, actually, check that. No, I couldn't. There's no way he'd
60
find it.
Offensive line, 40% Brady.
I said most of it is the offensive line. Yeah. I said I think the majority is what I used. There's the word.
My point is, if that wasn't an issue, Brady's game would elevate to the point where we wouldn't even be talking about this.
So why are we talking about all the receivers not being good enough?
I think that is
because you think that it would be fine if the protection was okay. So it's not about the receivers.
I'm not talking about that as much. I'm talking about the offensive line. I really believe that.
Well, that whole call just said it was all about the receivers.
I really believe that all these receivers would all of a sudden get a little better too if Brady had a little bit more time and confidence. It's not just having the time; it's having the confidence.
Well, if he doesn't have confidence, that's his fault.
I'm not saying it isn't.
Not his fault if he doesn't have confidence when Khalil Mack's trying to break him in half and Justin Tuck's trying
to
break him in half.
Who doesn't have that problem?
No, but we've talked about it with
Carr. If everything
Carr.
Is
we've
perfect,
about
he,
guys
can, he can throw the ball.
Shell-shocked.
I
get shell-shocked.
Yeah.
He was sacked more than ever last year.
But
he's getting
him,
hit more than ever
and he'll
this
be
year.
Fine.
You know,
he's so dismissive.
We've talked about.
Well, I just think that you could say that about all quarterbacks.
Listen.
I don't. I think there's been specific guys over the year we say that guy just got beat up and he was never the same afterwards.
If it turns out that, it's these guys really aren't.
I don't think Ben Roethlisberger.
I agree with you.
I think Ben Roethlisberger gets hit as much as anybody, and I don't think we look at him as shell-shocked. I don't think we've seen his game alter. But I think David Carr, Drew Bledsoe, Tom Brady, we see guys that just, it becomes a factor in their long-term ability.
I agree.
If it turns out that, injuries really weren't a factor, it was talent on the offensive line, well, then shame on Bill Belichick, the GM, for not putting guys in front of Brady, who was 37 years old.
Now, you heard the guy. Shame on Logan Mankins for not taking a pay cut.
Who said that?
The caller, the other Dave in Connecticut.
I missed that. I must have been eating.
Check it out.
Yeah. He did that say guy. That, too bad he didn't take a pay cut because, he wasn't willing to take a pay cut.
No. Too bad they didn't pay him when he was an elite
guard. I think
he
said shame on Logan Mankins for not taking
did
a pay cut.
Did he say shame
I think
him?
Was how he put it, but I'll take your word
really?
For it.
Really? That's terrible.
You know what? You might be. He might have said, "Too bad, Logan Mankins wouldn't take a pay."
Rich is in New Jersey. Hey, Rich.
Right. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I called in last week to the Rook Show, and I talked about the Patriots' inability to pick up a deep threat. And I'm with my man Eldridge. I'm a longtime listener. But I agree. I mean, we have Danny Amendola who can't catch anything. I mean, he's probably caught as many balls as he's worth. So he's catching million-dollar balls every time.
Look, I've seen Danny Amendola highlights in St. Louis, and he was downfield catching balls. So I know he can do it.
Right. Doesn't mean he can do it often and get open often within the confines of this offense.
But I know it's a shot play that you should probably take once in a while.
Just run him deep. Get him out there and run
Why
him deep.
Why not?
I don't know, because I don't think he's your fastest receiver, and I don't think he's not big, he's not fast.
Somebody deep.
I agree with that. The run somebody deep.
Tompkins
I agree
and
with.
Dobson, I think, should be asked to.
Well, it
to
can only
deep.
Be one of them because
no, I know because we can't have two receivers in the because you can't go into a game without a blocking wide receiver who plays on the kickoff team when we have Steven Gostkowski kicking touchbacks every time we kick off.
He's got more catches than those guys now
because he's the only one he throws to. Dobson's inactive 2 out of 3 weeks.
Okay,
don't tell me Dobson's not a better player than Brandon LaFell.
I don't know. You just told me Brandon LaFell was a proven playmaker.
Not here.
No, I know, but he's been a proven playmaker in the NFL.
I didn't say he was a proven playmaker. I said he's been a proven NFL player.
Yeah, I'm not sure Dobson has done that yet.
Okay. All right. Then I'll take it back.
Because I don't think much of
LaFell. Then they should send LaFell downfield. Because LaFell made plays with the game on the line, did it against this team.
I think
a Monday night game.
He's very angry. I do think they need to send somebody down the field.
Because every
you
receiver
lost your
they
guy.
Get stinks.
You remember
it's
who the deep threat on this team used to be last year? In the last couple of years, it was Gronk. They would send Gronk deep. Remember when he toasted Adrian Wilson deep and Brady missed him? but now it's not Gronk now. So it's not ideal. You don't have a guy who runs a 4.18 like Dante Stallworth, whose forte is running under a ball. But you still can
do it. He's going to text you right now and say, you'll never give that one up, will you?
What else you got, Rich?
Do you think it's time to move on from Danny Amendola, or he hasn't shown anything since the Bills game of last season?
I think either you make a concerted effort to get him in there or take him out. One or the other.
Would you cut him?
I wouldn't.
Would you consider I
would not cut him yet this year.
You have a receiver who is suspended for one more week.
Yeah.
And I find it hard to believe when you already have a healthy scratch at receiver, you can just add another receiver to the
roster.
The
reason I wouldn't cut him yet is because of what Paul said. You know, in a given game, maybe I can limp through it. But if Edelman did get hurt, I'd want Amendola in there for the long haul.
You think there's any shot in hell you could trade Danny Amendola?
Yes.
With that contract?
Probably not.
I think you could.
I think you probably could.
With offensive coordinators in this league, they would say, on my team, he could do something.
I know, but it's not just that.
It's the people buy
that you're not going to cut him, and we'll just get him because we don't want that contract.
Maybe.
Now, I don't know what teams are like really starved for receivers that would be able to do it, but I think someone would trade for him.
It would be funny.
Contract is not that outrageous, and you wouldn't have to worry about
the problem
signing
is you need a receiver, so no one's going to...
Yeah, but you want to just sit him. If you're going to sit him, then cut him. Get rid of him.
You guys don't think they can play.
No, I think he can play.
But you want
so
him sitting
out. So why do you
want
to sit him?
Because...
See, that's why I would never sit him out, because I don't think that he is...
Because
I think he's light years better.
I'm not making the decisions, and if you're not going to use him, then... Let's get Dobson back on the field.
But why are you going to sit him? What do you gain from sitting him?
A roster spot on game day.
You also gain, a major story. That becomes the story of the...
I don't care if it results in more points. I don't care about the story.
But we have how many receivers active every week?
Five?
Edelman, Amendola, LaFell, and either Tompkins or Dobson, right? So four receivers.
Right.
And we can't get the ball to more than one of them.
Right.
So we need to change which one that is. We need to that's roster spot is so valuable that we need him out and Dobson in, or him out and Tompkins in.
Apparently we do.
But we don't throw it to them. So what's the difference?
Well, in my scenario you would.
But why not just do it with Amendola?
I think he's
a better player than Tompkins.
I said let's make a concerted effort, but if they're not willing to do that, then let's just get Dobson on the field.
Trade him to the Packers.
But you keep saying, let's get Dobson on the field. Like, it's going to be different.
I
Dobson's
know.
On the field, so we're going to make a concerted effort to get him the ball. No, they're not.
Well, they did, last in the Vikings game, first play.
That's a concerted effort to get a guy the ball?
It was.
One target?
No, but I'm saying that play.
Two targets. Two targets. Yeah.
That play was a concerted effort to get a guy the ball.
Okay, well,
they had
touchdown.
Nine guys
well, then the touchdown
play.
To Amendola was a concerted effort to get Amendola the ball. And he made a bad throw.
Yeah.
Well, so what's the difference?
We have
it's
to
one
see
to
more
him
of that.
Or one to him.
We have to see more of that. One, two a game is not cutting it.
This is awesome. We're not used to, this is hardcore. We're going to cut the receiver.
And I know you guys aren't sold on
it. I don't get
it. But I feel bad that we haven't talked about the defense, because bad teams they've done what they're supposed to do. This defense has made bad teams look good. And so far, 9 points, 7 points the week before, they're doing okay.
Ignoring the opener?
What's that?
We ignore.
I am. I am ignoring the second half of the opener.
So we're going to ignore one of the three games.
They wilted.
So far.
No, you missed it. You missed that. He's only ignoring the second half of the opener when they played against the quarterback who lost his job after three games.
They wilted.
And the first drive in Minnesota. Yeah. Let's ignore that
Listen.
If we're going to ignore things, let's ignore that one too.
They've made worse teams look better than they have so far this season. So
they're kind of going down the same road they went down last year.
Yeah.
They took advantage of quarterbacks who either shouldn't be playing or wouldn't
be playing.
But
we never
soon.
Saw what that defense could be because of the injuries. This year,
correct.
Hopefully we might.
I feel better about it because I think Hightower and Collins are making the
Hightower,
year three jump.
Hightower has been to me.
I mean,
hasn't he
Jones.
Played better?
I think Hightower.
I dubbed
to me
him the
has
MVP
been,
of the defense.
And Jones
games.
Has played better.
I think Jones has been fine, but Hightower has been outstanding.
Yeah,
and I think that
they
been
both
a noticeable
weren't last year. I like that where they're going with those two.
You know,
I'm not sold on everything else because I think the run defense is still going to be a question.
You know, and
that
it's funny.
Run.
Do we have Ninko's reps from last game? Nikovich's reps.
I have the game book here. I can look that up for you.
I don't think it's in there, is it?
Number of plays.
58%, 100% every play.
You had that immediately after the game?
No, I usually print it out when I come in.
Oh, you today. Reprint. Okay.
So Nikovich.
No, I just print out.
Nikovich
I just
had
print 100%? Out that page. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
What was your point?
The opposite of that.
I thought that he made a couple plays, and I thought that he was making, you know, when he's in there, he's contributing. But it, you know,
now you're disappointed in his performance.
Yeah, well, yeah, a little bit.
I wish
he was maximizing his opportunities.
Right, just a little
now
bit.
Now he's not.
Then I'm really disappointed because I had no idea what his point was.
I would have let him talk. He hadn't played as many reps. I guess.
Oh, no. The last two games, he's played the whole game. The first game, he didn't play the whole game.
Yeah.
And you got decimated.
Well, you lost one guy last week, Collins.
He played the whole game. Because
he played the whole game this week, Collins?
No, Ninkovich. No, Collins didn't play the whole game.
Right, so he's going to play more until they get everybody ready.
Right.
I am intrigued by the front, by the way. Good and bad. I'm intrigued by the linebackers all playing at once, which they've been doing a lot of. Yeah. I'm under-intrigued by the defensive line, where I still think a guy looked like Tommy Kelly would look good. I think they're in trouble if they face a running team. I think there could be some issues there.
Collins only played 19 plays.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
33%.
What's your point?
All right, let's go quickly to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Looking forward to this.
Want to give a quick shout-out real quick to the Jets for the therapy last night. You know, just when you think
it's always good to see them lose, yeah.
Realize what you got as a neighbor in the division. Man, I mean, that first
thank God
was just an absolute laugh. But kudos to them. They came to play. I realize it's their Super Bowl this year, but thank you. I feel much better today as a Pats fan. But listen, before I get started, I got to call out Pats Nation after this one a little bit. I mean, it feels like we lost a football game. We won the damn football game. And while it wasn't pretty,
it's not what he said he was going to do.
An NFL team. I mean, you know, I was watching all four quarters. There's no question this team played down to their competition. And, you know, after seeing Charles Woodson's statement, I mean, he clearly had this team out there getting ready to play. And we just blew it. We just played down, but we won the damn football game. And all these people running, jumping off the ledges, you know, got to think back. You just said it. Last year was real similar. And the year prior, we went 1-2 in the damn beginning of the season. People need to wake up, realize there's 16 freaking games in this season. I mean, this all comes down to the offensive line. We get this offensive line fixed, and bang, things will start to open up. I mean, you can't run the damn football. There's no hole. There's no push. You can't pass because Brady has no time. He's anticipating a hit. I mean, we talk about the long ball. Are you kidding me? I mean, this guy gets 6 steps back, and he's got a damn defensive tackle or defensive end on his ass. I mean, this offensive line disgusts me right now. And I'm happy we won. But you see Solder and Ballmer, I mean, these guys are just as much of an issue than the interior rookies and these guys that are moving around. Listen, number one, Googe, you better step up and get these guys in shape or you need to get tacky and get the hell out of this football team. I mean, it's time, to me, moving Ballmer inside, getting him some help on that left side. Cameron Fleming, to me, seems like the up-and-coming guy. Maybe we get this guy some run over there at right tackle. I sure as hell hope Dante Scarnecchia is getting a little bit of a phone call here. But when it's all said and done, who's to say there may not have been a vanilla game plan? Man, we're thinking about this big tilt in Kansas City. I really don't think we saw everything. And thank God we got a long week of practice to get this thing right. I mean, Danny Amendola, just a final thought. Every time I see this guy having being a non-factor in a game, I think about what could have been. I think about Jared Allen getting after guys last night. You know, I think about guys like LeGarrette Blount that we let walk, whether or not he would have been a fit on this team or whether he would have been effective with this awful offensive line. But that, to me, is the focal point of where we need to go to get better. And that, to me, is the end of story. Offensive line gets fixed, things open up. Long story short, Pats Nation, it's early. I'm looking for big things, and I'm looking for a big, big jump in Gronk's production on Monday night against Kansas City. That's all I got, guys. Over and out.
All right, Chester. He's bringing it. Agree or disagree, he's bringing
disagree.
It. Well, I think basically he said...
That was a long story, you
know, long. Offensive line is where
I agree with
first.
That.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready to say, Googe, get the hell out.
Yeah. Cameron Fleming, get in.
I mean, well, the whole Vollmer inside thing, I don't
no,
know
that's
where
what
that
the Globe
from.
Said. Is, the Globe.
I
Ben
know.
Boland said it's going to happen. Yeah. He was told he was moving inside. I haven't seen him play inside.
Chris is in Niagara Falls. Hey, Chris.
I've seen the opposite of that story.
With the 29th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Ham Sandwich.
Notice the 29th pick.
I was going to say, it's more like with the 18th pick.
Oh.
Man, wow.
How come everybody doesn't jump all over him?
We got to step it up, boys. But what's up with Logan Ryan? Is he serious? Like, every time I see... the opposite team catching a ball, it's always on Logan Ryan. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, but it's so funny because there's people see Logan. He's another interesting player that people either love or seem to hate. Like, there was just an Ask PFW. I don't understand why Alphonso Dennard plays anymore. He's got six interceptions. Logan Ryan seems like he's a really good player. He needs to play more ball. And then you say, which I tend to be more toward your side, that every time somebody catches a ball, Logan Ryan's in the area.
Yeah. I thought he and Revis struggled throughout the game the other day, and they just didn't have – the Raiders just didn't have – the personnel to take advantage of it. But I thought in general, when they threw the ball to the outside receivers, they were open and they just weren't Carr didn't connect with them. I thought they tried about 5-6 different times to get deep downfield, and every time the Raiders seemed to have at least a step on the coverage, and it resulted in two pass interferences, one of which was wiped out because the Raiders can't line up correctly. And they just didn't. They only had one, I think, connection. I think Andre Holmes caught one.
Dre.
Former Patriot, Dre. Remember him, Freddie?
Sure.
No, you don't.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm sorry for laughing.
Let's go to Mike in Florida. Hey,
no
Mike.
No loud laughs. Michael!
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I've got a couple thoughts. I agree with you guys completely about the offensive line, and I'm very underwhelmed with Darrell Revis. I think it would have been much better to keep Talib. Much better to keep him. But one thing I'm not hearing, and it's just a thought, Brady's 37, yeah, he's my favorite player of all time. But do you think it's possible that he might need glasses at this stage of his life? I mean, really. I mean, you get a little older, you might need glasses.
It's the whole Jim Rice thing.
I'm just wondering if it's not the problem, but one of, to complement with the offensive line, just a combination of all of it.
Paul, during Brady's press conference tomorrow, could you maybe ask him that?
Yeah.
I'll let you handle that one.
Listen, if that's all it takes, I'll drive him to the optometrist.
Well, he can go see who's Mayo's guy? Dr. Melky or something?
All it takes for what?
If that's all it takes for him to... improve in the eyes of these people that are.
I gotta give him credit. I thought I had him. Give him credit.
You gave it away with a stupid smirk. If you hadn't stupid smirked, you might have got what you wanted there.
All right.
I mean, I needed glasses by the time I was 37.
That means everybody needs glasses by the time they're 37.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't read.
I mean, we mock it. I assume, like, he knows whether he can see or not. I assume he would tell somebody, "Geez, I can't really see."
How do you know
he's
not wearing contacts?
I don't.
Thanks, Mike. By the way, somebody must be helping Brady with his Facebook page, because I know he's not coming up with all this stuff, right?
What's he got now?
Well, now he's got a thing that he posted today. He had a Photoshop of him high-fiving Robert Kraft, because I guess Mark Wahlberg left
Hung
Kraft
out,
hanging.
Yeah.
And so he said, I'll help you, Mr. Kraft. You know,
Bob, I think you said.
Bob. So he must have somebody helping, because this newfound love of Facebook.
Well, you
it's
know
not,
he's not
him.
You know he's
right.
not doing the... Photoshopping and all
right,
that.
Right. No, it's Ben or somebody else.
Not that he's
else.
Not able to do Photoshop, but I think he's got, some more pressing
matters. And, of course,
matters.
You know, he posts that, and it's all over TV and websites and everything.
Yeah, but we'll lose interest in it.
Yeah.
Once it becomes he had never done a lot of this.
Right.
So if he starts doing this all the time, we'll lose interest.
Right. Victor,
but I also don't get it. I mean, what does this do to his brand? What does this do? Does it make money? Does it do anything?
Well, it helps people on his Facebook page get more likes.
Hey, guys. Hello.
Hey, Victor.
What does that do?
First of all, I don't see all this gloom and doom scenarios for the team that everybody seems to think that the Patriots are 10-6 or 9-7. I see the team going at worst 12-4, and that's not because they're good, but because
is this Vonage? What are you on?
Victor's like me.
Yeah, you got a bad connection.
12-4, not because they're so good, but the other team is so bad.
See, I just think that's utterly disrespectful to the Bears, the Bengals, the Broncos, the Packers, the Chargers.
Well, I think some of those teams have beat the Patriots, but not all of them.
No, I know, but you can only lose three if you think they're 12-4.
Yeah.
You only have three losses left. You already lost one of them. And we've already said, we did it on the postgame show, 10 of the next 13 are losable. Well, what does a middling team, when a middling team plays a losable game, how many do they lose? Probably half, right?
Yeah, but
that's
I don't think
a middling team.
But I don't think they're a middling team.
Okay. They don't look good to me. They
just
look
because
like
I don't think
team.
They're a Super Bowl champion doesn't mean I think they're middling.
Oh, I'm not projecting anything. I'm basing it on three games I've watched against three bad football teams where they look
I'm
like
I'm going to channel my inner
Randy.
They're 2-1. Why is that middling?
They are 2-1. There is no doubt they are 2-1. The facts are they're 2-1 and they're tied for the division lead. The eyeball test tells you through 3 weeks they don't look very good to me. They do not look like an upper echelon team to me.
Well, I agree with that, but I think there have been times, and Chester alluded to this, early in the season where they haven't looked like an upper echelon team. Now, I disagree with his characterization. I don't think 2 years ago when they were 1-2 and they lost 31-30 on the last play of the game at Baltimore to go 1-2. As far as losses go, that wasn't a bad one. Are you reffing kidding me?
Right.
You remember it?
No.
That's how they went 1-2.
When that happened and at what the record was at the time, but I have no idea.
They opened the season that year with a good win at Tennessee.
Pepsi's actually good
now
for
I remember.
And then they lost a game at home that they shouldn't have lost to Arizona, and then they followed that by losing. But to me, the performance is what I'm talking about. Andy's point is what I've seen so far is a middling team.
Right.
And I don't really think you can dispute that.
So middling teams, when they have 10 losable games, they lose 5 of them.
No, but I don't think
so
that
you're
they
10-6.
I don't think they will continue to play like this. Right. I don't think they'll continue to perform and put up fewer than 300 yards of total offense against a team like Oakland.
Why?
Because I just think they're too. There's too many
because
good
historically
players.
Historically, they've
no, because
been.
I think too much of Tom Brady. To be honest with you, I think that they'll move the ball eventually.
The way he goes back and forth on Brady
like
really confuses me.
I'm talking.
I think too much of Tom. He stinks, but I think too much of him. I mean, it's like Bledsoe. I mean, you give him all the time in the world. I mean, I think too much of Tom Brady.
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
Which side of your personality is it going to be?
Well, why can't I be critical of Tom Brady based on what he's done the first three games as opposed to what I think he is and will be moving forward? I don't think he's played well in the first three games. Most people are sort of blowing that off and blaming it all on the offensive line, the receivers, the coaching, and everything else. Eyesight. I don't think he's played very well. I think the offensive line is the biggest reason for it, but I think that he's up there with the reasons the offense has struggled.
All right, let's.
But I don't think he's going to struggle for 16 games.
Because he's not 37, he's not getting older.
But is that such a bipolar way of looking at it?
So much like me.
I think he's a great quarterback.
You're going to assume Brady is good until he proves he's not good. Is that what you're going with here?
Yeah, not.
Feels like that's what you make fun of me
for. I'm not going to wait.
Isn't that fair?
I'm not going to wait.
I know that's fair, but he mocks me 5 years after.
Exactly.
Blah blah blah.
5 years later, you're going to say he's no longer good.
You're full of crap.
All right,
and I would say that he's declining.
Both sides of your mouth. Oh, I'm over here. Oh,
one of these years, it's going to continue because he is 37. And he's not going to just bounce back.
All right, I want to take three quick calls, and then we want to get to the emails. Real quick, Antoine in Jersey City. Antoine, what's going on?
How you doing, Fred and guys? I got a little listener crying right now.
Okay.
Chester, I got to call you out. You my boy, good friend on POW Elite. I got to call you out. You sit up here and you just said that you want to call out you want to call out Pats Nation and not to get all riled up. But then you list a whole slew of issues for us to really be worried about. The O-line, you're talking about, well, you know, we're going to turn things around. You know, we always start this way. That's baloney right now. But to be honest with you, I really think we're going to go no better than either 8-8 or 9-7. And
I'm
that's
with
just going off with the three games we play off of poor teams. You can't just brush this off like it's nothing. I mean, it's evident that the offensive line is causing Brady to not look at other receivers or anything in that magnitude like that.
I agree, Antoine, but they're going to fix it. They're going to fix it.
How? Lucky, you know,
Brian Stewart.
Idea of thinking that things are going to simply turn around. You know, based off the playoff this last Sunday, I don't think it's going to turn around for the next couple games.
All right. Okay, Antoine, thanks for the call. Let's go to Cookie in Maine. Hey, Cookie.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Cookie.
Yeah, I don't know. The offensive line, I can't believe that Belichick thought the offensive line was a position of strength. Do you see other teams out there looking for, let's see who the Patriots release and pick them up? I mean, that's what he said before he did that thing with Mankins.
Well, he said some teams have an abundance or whatever of talent at certain spots and a lack of talent at others, and sometimes you can marry those up and make a deal, and he felt this was a case of that. He felt like offensive line, they had enough pieces where they could move one, just like the Bucs felt they had enough tight ends where they could move one. Yep.
Yeah, but he said we're going to have to make some tough decisions. We knew we would at the offensive line because he had so many guys.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's a crazy way of looking at it. I don't think anybody else looked at our offensive line around the league and thought we
listen,
had
well, but it doesn't listen, matter. We all know if Mankins was making half of what he was making, they wouldn't even have been thinking about trading.
But that's not why they like Jordan Devy. They like him because they like him. They can be 100% wrong. Jordan Devy might suck and never be anything, but they liked him. They included him in the positives. right?
Sure, he's a good backup.
Right. No, 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 but they liked him. We saw throughout the summer they flat out liked him. There's a difference.
I think they liked him, but I don't think anybody, any other team would even like him as a backup.
But that's irrelevant. It's what you think. If you think a guy is good, that's what you're expecting. You're going to get good play from him on the field.
Oh, okay. And I'm saying they made error because other defensive lines are just rushing four, tearing these guys up.
I agree with you 1,000%. I never liked Devy. I never understood the fascination with him.
Remember, Klein's hurt, right?
No.
Oh, he's not hurt?
Healthy scratch. No. Josh Klein was passed up by Jordan Devy, and I never understood why.
Yeah, because Klein seemed to be that super sub in camp.
I think Klein has been more competitive in his year plus or whatever it is than Devy has in his year plus.
It's strange. All right, one more call, then we'll get to emails. Daniel in Charlotte. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you're doing well up there.
Thanks.
Hey, you know, to speak like my relatives up in Massachusetts up there, you know, I think I agree with you in the fact that I think Brady's playing like garbage so far this year. I mean, you know, granted, everybody's had their opportunities, the wide receivers, the offensive line. I mean, but overall, and I love Brady, but I think he's left a lot out there on the field. That being said, I'm a huge fan of the Stork. I watched a lot of him down here at the ACC, and I think he's done well. I think he did well on Sunday, and I think he's played well overall. And I think if they start him at center, I think that might allow Connolly to move the guard. And because I mean, I really haven't seen much positive from Devy or Cannon for that matter, but I really like Stork as the center, and I think that might begin to help shift things for the offensive line. As far as Amendola goes, I mean, God almighty, that guy can't catch a break. I mean, he was open for that touchdown. I put that on Brady. And, you know, every nice pass he has, you know, I saw him shake his head when he saw that flag because he's just almost resigned to the fact that he just can't catch a break. No. But either way, those are my thoughts. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Okay, Dan, thanks for the call.
It's true. If you add four catches for about 60 yards and a touchdown, his numbers look significantly better in a short time like this.
Let's go to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. We're commercial free here. Bill Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, writes in, before the season, my guess was 13-3, one loss in division in what the F, crying out loud in one in a fair fight. He always...
One loss in division. One loss
division,
that you never saw
head
coming.
Scratcher.
And one in a fair fight. I now say 14-2. The division was at Miami. Ask Paul if he can remember any out-of-character losses in Miami. Sunday was what the F, crying out loud loss, but they were lucky it was Oakland, and they won it anyway.
That's good. If Sunday was your what the F and you won it, then I see where he's going.
How many times have we wailed about how the defense needs the offense to put up video game numbers? They needed 10 Sunday and 8 the week before. So are we going to complain now? What are you, Fred Perillo? Yes, Paul, it was the Peterless Vikings and the Raiders. Shut up, Paul. I'm talking Fred off the ledge. The line woes mean
you don't need to.
The line woes mean they can sell screens better, and most teams use the last three games in film. They will be suckered into thinking the Patriots are lousy.
That's good.
P.S. Will it help if we sacrifice a virgin? Got to take one for the team, Eric.
Yeah, you don't have to talk Fred off any ledges, though. That's the only thing. That's excellent stuff. I like the line woes. We'll open up the screen game. I like that.
Now, Fred, what was your record to start the year?
13-3.
And you are now at what?
13-3.
Okay.
He'll stay with that. They could lose the next two games, and he'll still say 13-3.
Well, now you're 8-8, 9-7. Is that what you're at?
9-7.
You just said, I agree.
I was kidding. No, but I have.
What is the record that most associated with?
Can I just say this? You're kidding about the 8-8, 9-7, but you're also on record as saying that I'm totally disrespectful for maintaining my 12-4. I'm disrespectful to all those other teams.
Yes.
So you're not that far. You're not kidding that much with your 9-7.
You were 12-4, I think. Right?
I thought it was 11-5, but maybe 12-4.
I don't remember what yet. To be honest, I don't remember.
So are you sticking with 12-4?
No. I'm down a game. 11-5.
11-5?
So let's say you started with 11-5. Are you down a game from that?
I'm trending toward it because I just told you.
But you just said you
did it on the post-game show. 10 of the next 13 are losable. Middling teams probably lose about 50% of their losable games. That's 5 losses. You have one. That's 6. That's 10-6.
So you're 9-7. not really. Nah, I'm kidding. You're really not.
No, you just talked me into 10-6.
You're not really kidding.
You just. I'm not kidding that I don't think they look very good right now.
Well,
I'm not kidding.
Even Fred would agree on that.
I don't think every year you can just assume, oh, they'll straighten it out. They'll be fine late in the year.
Well, that's the part.
It always gets fixed. Well, you know what? If Brady's on the decline and maybe Belichick's on the decline, well,
maybe
then
the
you know
offensive
what?
Line just
your
isn't going to get fixed.
Are on the decline. And sooner or later, your little, oh, after Thanksgiving's when it matters. You know what? You'll suck by then.
Off air, I asked Fred, and we talked about this a little bit upstairs. If you could play, this is a total hypothetical. This is you need to really erase your mind on what you know.
I'm good at that.
But eliminate history and just go off of 2014. The three games you've seen in 2014, forget about the fact that you've seen them lose to Arizona in week two a couple of years ago. You've seen them struggle badly to beat Buffalo last year. Forget how they've started seasons and gotten better as the season has gone on. Based on what you've seen, does this look like a very good football team right now?
500.
It looks like a 500 team.
Yes.
Right
now.
Not
terrible. Not a 2-14,
no,
but 500.
Well, first of all, your quarterback is too good and your coach is too good.
I know what you're saying, but you have to take into consideration.
You do, but that's why I'm making it a hypothetical. But that's why I'm making it a hypothetical.
But how much is that too much weighted in your mind?
I think right now a lot of us, myself included, that's why I'm staying with 12-4. I am putting too much weight
into
what they've done in the past.
I'll go with history.
Right, and I'm guilty of it. I'm not making fun of anybody for doing that because I'm doing it too.
Bob writes, "In every year I can remember since 2009, I've heard gloom and doom about the Patriots. This year is no different, and when you analyze everything, nothing
you
much
always
changes."
You make fun of me for finding people that are saying stuff that aren't really saying stuff. And
for example,
well, you're one of these people.
Gloom and doom every year.
You
since
look at
2009?
It on the opposite side, but you're one of these people.
For example, A, Tom Brady still leads the NFL all time in win percentage in the regular season, 150, blah, blah, blah.
So what he did in 2003 is very relative to what he's doing in 2014.
I didn't like that.
B, when starting a home game from week three in 2001 to the present day in the regular season, 97 games, Brady has never lost a game where the I don't like these stats. I'm going to move on.
Wow.
I don't like the stats.
The
you,
one thing
you offended Captain Homer.
I'm sorry.
We did, a relative
or
stat.
Or as Thug would say, sorry.
Sorry.
I hate when he says sorry.
He does have a funny way of saying sorry.
The Patriots have not been very good at home openers in the last 3 or 4 years.
No, they've had some really lackluster.
That's a
games.
More relative, local, timely stat that they've had hiccups early. We think, it's home, they're going to be excited, and it hasn't worked out that way.
Emil from Denmark, how about this line? Right tackle Vollmer, right guard Connolly, like it so far, center Stork, like it, left guard Fleming. Yes, our rookie tackle, very athletic, and left tackle Solder.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't hate it. I don't like two rookies in there, to be honest with you.
You don't like Cannon in there either, though. You're going to have something you don't like.
Yeah, but at least I think Cannon can play. He's shown me that he can play. I don't know what Fleming
can do. I'm not sure he's shown me he can play at guard.
No, he hasn't shown me he can play at guard.
I think what's frustrating, we've had all spring and all summer, don't they know who the good guys are?
Nope.
And we talked about this at the beginning of camp, other than the tackles, it's an open competition, and it seems like it still is. Right. That's
now,
the part problem.
Of that, now, Fleming,
don't you also so think it's still open at receiver, at safety? There's a few spots.
Yeah, the Fleming part, if he could play guard, I think we'd have seen him a little bit more at guard. Stork isn't playing because he got hurt.
Yeah, we saw Fleming at guard like one day
Very briefly, like
a handful of plays in practice.
What if Stork screws up in a game and like has a flashback and just starts doing a lap during the game?
Would you get a penalty for that, jogging to the other team's sideline?
Offside.
Austin and Toronto, how about them first-place Pats, he says.
That's what I'm saying.
In all seriousness, this team looks like it's going to take half the season to get it together. Hopefully this doesn't mean a 500 record at the halfway point, and I don't think it will. I feel like this season is starting much like last year, and going into a primetime game Monday like we were in Atlanta last year, I expect a much better performance all around. Remember in that Atlanta game, they did turn it around.
Atlanta, like the Chiefs, could be the fall-off team.
I took some solace after talking to my big barbecue dude, who I get my ribs from. He's a huge Redskins fan. He told me after week one, it's going to take their newly built offensive line 5 to 6 games to start clicking. I think we can expect the same thing in New England. Bottom line is if we can give TB12 an extra second, the offense will look entirely different. I think there are a lot of positives we can take from last game. Gronk doing better, less penalties, no turnovers, better on third down, a nice play to Wright and Tompkins, and LaFell finally getting involved. That was late, though. If we get a little better, each week and can stay healthy. We'll be fine. Expect 30-plus points versus Kansas City Monday night. P.S., things could be worse. We could be Jets fans. That's true.
I think you'd need turnovers for you to get 30-plus Monday night. Lots of them.
Josh in Chicago, I just want to make a point about Revis. He is not going to hold receivers to one catch at 4 yards every week. You guys may be underwhelmed by him, but he has been elite in my opinion. He has not been letting up any big plays down the field, which is a far cry from last season. The only touchdown he has let up was a batted ball off the knee of Mike Wallace. And the defense has actually been getting off the field on third down. So if you factor all of that in, do these 10-yard catches he's let up once in a while really matter? Yes, we haven't played top receivers yet, but we've played a lot of speedy playmakers, and Revis's play should only get better.
I don't even care about the receivers. I'd say we haven't played a quarterback yet.
Yeah, and they didn't let up a lot of big plays last year, by the way.
No, that was the year wrong. When we traded for Tlaib, right? That was 2 years ago.
Completely changed it around. Listen, you can be happy with him giving up 10-yard completions for first downs and guys making their third start, targeting him, openly targeting him. With the game on the line, he was beaten badly by James Jones. The ball was underthrown. It's the only reason why that wasn't a touchdown. I haven't been happy with Revis' play. I expect a lot more from the best defensive back in football.
Alex, and so do the Patriots, because you know, $16 million a year comes with a certain idea of what your level of play should be.
Alex from Philly, and Bill, we trust. Patriots teams always get better as the season goes along. We have Brady. We have Belichick. We'll be fine. There are sayings that Pats fans have been telling ourselves for years whenever we struggle. Well, I have a new saying about this season. Crap rolls downhill, not uphill. Dominated by a Dolphin team who was about to bench their starting quarterback, struggling offensively to score against a terrible Vikings team, and now getting in a Paul Perillo rock fight with the hapless Raiders, and I'm supposed to just think it will get better? The problem with this team is not scheme or play calling, it's talent. Too many undrafted waiver wire Jags we're depending on to be key guys, and too many of our high-priced, top-level guys don't make plays. Please, someone, tell me how that is fixable.
Did that come from Andy Hart at...
Well, you just seem to... You're worse than Paul about how you
I
go
am
back
not.
And
I'm
forth.
I'm very consistent.
You're unbelievable.
I think talent's a question right now.
Fred, you could say that I'm negative, and today I would say I have been.
Yes.
But I don't go back and forth a lot.
No, that's on Brady. The Brady thing, I never know where you fall. It's going to be fine because of Brady, but then we'll lose because of Brady. No. Wait, it's all Brady.
First of all, you need to tell me who the opponent is. Second of all,
tell me when the calendar says.
That's not what I say.
Is the calendar January?
No. Paul is nothing but consistent. I mean, he sets people to win arguments he had 10 years ago.
I'm ridiculously stubborn. I'm very consistent.
I would agree on most things you're very consistent. The Brady one, I still haven't placed
because
where you are.
Unlike a lot of people, and I'm not throwing you two into this category because I don't think you two are guilty of it, I can say that I don't think Brady's playing well without saying that I think Brady sucks. Just because I don't think he's played well in three games doesn't mean I now think that, you know, the last 15 years were a mirage and he wasn't one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play.
But do you think he played well late last year?
Refresh my memory. What games
are
you talking about?
Like the playoff game.
I think he was terrible in the playoff game.
Okay.
Terrible.
And
I stood alone on an island.
When Gronk went down and all he threw was to Edelman.
Yeah, I don't think he played very well.
Okay, well, so now you have 2 months and another month.
But does that mean I think
a year?
But that means I say he sucks?
No. I mean acknowledging that at some point he's going to suck.
No.
Or he's going to decline or whatever the word is you want to
do. And I've been saying that I think that he's on the decline.
But you're also saying they'll be fine because he'll be fine.
Because the other teams suck. They'll win enough games. They do.
See, anyone who says this is an easy
schedule, they won the other day because the other team was just worse than them. That's why they won.
Exactly.
And I think that will happen.
They won't do that.
That will happen
against
enough.
The Bengals. They won't do that against the Bears. They won't do that in New York. They won't do that.
Like,
I
think they will beat the Bears playing exactly the way they did last Sunday night. The Bears suck. The Jets handed them a game last night.
I don't think
the
Bears
suck. Dominated the Bears.
Yeah, but how good are the Jets?
The Jets aren't very good.
Well.
And I thought they controlled the game.
See, I think he's just flippantly saying teams suck, like the Jets and the Bears. They suck.
Right, well,
he's setting up
the Patriots contemporaries
right
there. When the Patriots beat these people, they're not that good.
That's not what I'm doing.
Okay.
Feels like what you're doing.
The Bears, if you would ask me heading into the season, I would not have said that it was. I would not have said that about the Bears if you would ask me that. They literally lost their entire secondary already. They're completely ripped apart.
Well, both teams, actually.
That team is not very talented right now. They have two good receivers.
Did Marshall get hurt?
Only one of which is playing. Marshall got hurt. He's been hurt. He got hurt in that game again. I don't think that Chicago's going to have the personnel to do it. I think you're looking at Chicago and you're thinking, oh, they have this and they have that. But I don't think those guys are healthy, and I don't think they'll be able to do it. Now, if everybody is healthy that day, maybe I might change my mind. But I don't think there's enough teams that can – I think they could have played just like that against Chicago right now and won the game. Because I thought Chicago sucked last night. I thought Chicago got the game handed to them by Geno Smith.
Well, they certainly didn't look as good the week before. I mean, the week before, their offense looked
pretty
good.
And Geno Smith will probably do that against us, too. They'll probably hand the game to us.
Carlitos is a Peace Corps volunteer in Ecuador. Good for you. Yo, dudes, he says, assuming the offensive line starts stepping up and protecting Brady more, could the Patriots make it to the AFC Championship game? Yes. With no other improvements except for those that will come when Brady gets more protection, how far could they go if the other aspects of the team don't drastically improve? Gronk will get better, right? He is going to get back to where he was, right? Kansas City will be
That's
an entertaining game,
about.
Right? So, look, I think if the offensive line gets better, so will the rest of the offense. It'll just fall into place.
Well, I'm trying to play along with his hypothetical, though, and he said, and Gronk's not getting better. Is Gronk getting better or not getting better? Because Gronk right now, with just a better offensive line, I don't think you have enough weapons to be a contender. I don't.
But I think Gronk is getting a little bit better
I
game
do
by
too.
Game.
I thought he looked a little bit better this week.
Yeah.
It's taking far longer than I ever thought it would. And it's a long-term project, and I'm now targeting, you know, when the team gets good, probably post-Thanksgiving.
Right.
That's when it matters.
Toby from New York, this is not what I expected. Amendola apparently can't get open unless his defender is mugged. Brady looks more comfortable playing fullback than he does quarterback, and McDaniel seems to think that the forward pass is illegal on third down. I won't push
only third and long.
I won't push the panic button, but I'm worried about Brady. His wife is super powerful, and she married him when he was at his prime. I hope the pressure of impressing her isn't getting to him. Okay.
I don't even know what that
I
is.
Don't either. Let's see.
I like it.
Pat from Agawam, who bought us lunch today.
I love
Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat. You're the greatest.
He says, good morning, gentlemen. Let me get right to it. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit worried about our offensive production so far this year. I know past teams in the Belichick-Brady era don't hit their stride until the last half of the season, but there's been serious signs of deficiencies across the board on offense. The line has been piss poor thus far, and it's hard to tell if Brady's accuracy and decision-making has slipped due to age or because he gets less than 2 seconds before somebody's in his face. I'm not letting him off the hook either. He's made some downright ugly throws in 3 games. I don't think the team we saw Sunday is the team we'll see the rest of the season. However, I think a big problem is finishing in the red zone, but I do believe the offense will figure it out, especially if Gronk gets utilized a bit more. But there's one guy I want to see gone before the trade deadline is upon him, and his name is?
Danny Amendola.
Danny Amendola. I'm completely displeased with him, and are we paying him $250,000 per target this year? He sucks, and in my opinion, has been the worst free agent signing in the Belichick era, considering who we let walk and what we've gotten in return for him. I don't care if they only get a 7th-round pick for the guy, and that's even being generous. Fred, help me out here with some of your loquacious homerism. Rant over. As usual, I wanted to say thanks for being the only source for real Patriots and NFL talk. Everyone sucks but you guys. On a personal note, I'm getting married Friday.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
So if any of you are having a beer or cocktail around 5 p.m. Friday, raise your glass for me. Congratulations, Pat.
Congrats. And thank you again for lunch.
Paul drinks every Friday at 5, and then he drives home.
Danny Amendola, we talked about him early, a lot of people down on him. But what has he done to prove that he stinks?
Nothing.
Nothing.
But he's done nothing to prove that he's good.
Right.
We have to have some trust in the offensive coordinator and the quarterback to know a guy of value.
You make fun of me for, like, you can't figure out where I stand. I don't know where you stand on Brady. Like,
he's looking at Fred right now, just so everybody knows.
Can't we assume that if Brady's not throwing the ball to Amendola that he sucks?
No.
Okay.
Ooh, I thought the open man was his favorite man.
No.
I don't know why. No. I mean, generally, if a receiver is not involved in an offense, he's not very good. Right?
Right.
Would that be a generality that has some truth to it? If you don't agree, you don't have to agree.
Well, I think
it's not going to be like Andy and yell at you if you disagree with
I think there's a lot of fourth receivers on teams that, and I don't think Amendola should be a fourth receiver, that, you know, when you have Gronk.
Okay, well, they only have one receiver who gets looked at. No, so you can call him number two for the sake of this argument.
Look, there's a lot of receivers
he said he wasn't going to yell at
there's
you.
There's a lot of receivers that play.
No, but we go off into now we're making Amendola a $31 million fourth receiver.
There's a lot of receivers that play regularly that don't get a lot of catches. So that's not.
But he doesn't get looked at
but
ever.
But that's not the tell-all of whether or not he's
You're
good.
You're assuming that he's good.
Yes.
And I want to know why, if he's good, if he hasn't proven that he can't play, why our quarterback, who I know is good, is not throwing him the ball.
Right.
But I can't get you to admit that the quarterback ever does anything
remotely
wrong.
There's problems with Brady, and I think it's in his head.
Something that Pat...
just such like an all-encompassing, like, problems in his head.
Well, his eyeballs are in his head, so that would be accurate. Is Amendola, say this, you know, peters out. He is inactive, and then he's gone at the end of the year. He's traded, whatever. Is he the worst free agent signing ever?
Well, he said, considering what we gave up, which is Welker, basically.
Well, you didn't give up.
And money. Well, I mean, Haynesworth was a terrible...
It was a trade.
But you didn't really lose much by doing it.
It was a trade.
It was a trade. All right. Ocho Cinco.
Trade.
That was a trade? Oh. I thought they signed him.
Adalys Thomas is the one that would be in
the
ballpark.
Well, that's, when you consider the money.
Adalys Thomas would be worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. Adalys Thomas did more than Amendola.
That's true.
Way
too.
More.
That's true, too.
Way more.
You can accuse me of going back and forth on that one because it took you exactly 1.2 seconds to change my mind.
I think you can argue because we had to move on.
That first year that Thomas was here, he did
all
right.
And you can argue you lost Welker because of it. Because you can argue that, you know, he came back to us, but at that point we had to move on because there were other teams interested in Plan B, and that was Danny Amendola.
I
don't know
because
whether
that was
would've.
Your fault.
Whose fault?
That was the Patriots' fault. That's the only reason why I wouldn't include Welker in it.
No, but if you hadn't been so hot and bothered to sign Danny Amendola, your plan B, maybe you would have brought Welker back.
See, I think they were so hot and bothered to make sure that they won the negotiation with Welker that they just went out and signed someone else for three times what they would have given Welker. Just,
now
just
you sound like Felger. You
just to prove a point.
He's like, his inner Felger has just popped out.
I don't blame...
Win
don't,
the negotiation.
I don't blame
That's
that
a Felgerism. You got to win the contract.
I don't blame that on Amendola. I don't. It's not his fault that they didn't want to give Welker $12 million, but they wanted to give Amendola $31 million.
No one said it's his fault, but circumstantially.
No, so I don't blame him for that. That's all. I can't count
that. It's
part
of the story.
Yeah, I don't count that. That was their choice. They had a choice.
It would be interesting to see if Edelman hadn't come on.
Edelman.
What Amendola would have done.
Right. No question. This whole offensive team would look different.
That's part of my point that I'm trying to say, you know, with. I don't want to just bury Amendola.
I don't
want to have him inactive.
You want to have him
you
inactive?
You want him inactive.
No.
You just said that an hour ago.
Oh, my God. I said if they're not going to use him. I want to use him. Please listen when
but
I talk.
Well, he heard the same thing, so
don't
just yell at me.
I said if they're not going to use him.
And they're not.
Get him out and put Dobson. But I want to use him. I want to use him.
But with things being as they've been through 3 weeks, you think he should be inactive? Because he's irrelevant.
No, I don't think he should be active. I think they should use him.
No.
Get him involved more.
But they're using him how they think best. And right now,
I disagree with it.
Ooh. More at 11.
Should he be active or not?
If they're going to use him, yes. If they're not going to use him, no.
So if well,
doesn't
if
that make sense?
No, because based on your theory that we would dress Gronkowski and Edelman with Vereen coming out of the backfield.
Well, he's right.
Because we don't use the
I
other
I know,
receivers.
But we've got a guy sitting on the bench. I'd like to see what
well,
he can do.
Well, you didn't use the week he was active.
Oh. Listen, I want to see them use more all the receivers a little bit more. You know?
So how do they do that?
You know, Josh McDaniels.
I keep trying, but I can't.
Josh McDaniels needs to call a better game.
I keep trying, but I can't.
Third and long, don't run the ball.
Greg and Cali.
We're a week away, I know, but Tim's has become a lot of fans, ask PFWs. Yeah,
he's going to be
He's better than Stork.
And he's the green grass that
Tim's
don't,
is right? better than Stork.
I feel a little bad about Stork because I feel like
I
everybody
feel really
thinks
bad for him.
The offensive turnaround for these Patriots is on Stork. Not Amendola, not Gronkowski.
What did Greg Bedard say?
He says he's sold on Stork, he's seen the film, and he knows he's well coached. Put him in.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't understand the well-coached part. I really don't.
I mean, he came in for a drive and they went 63 yards and 12 plays for a field goal. Then the next drive it was Ridley 1 yard, Brady sacked -8, pass to LaFell for 15, punt.
And somebody told me
I just don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that was because of Stork. I mean, he played 15 snaps. I assume that he played the last 15 snaps.
Yes.
So that means that count the last four of the game where Brady kneeled three times and then threw a bomb to run out the clock.
Well, a bomb to the guy in the front row.
No, to run out the clock.
Yeah.
So that was four of his 15 snaps. So what are we sold on?
And on one of those, according to somebody on Twitter, if you watch the TV copy.
He got beat?
He gets yelled at. Oh. Brady says, get your ass down. Which I don't even, he wasn't low enough. Is that he wants his hands a certain spot or something?
Probably.
I got to tell you, I don't know if Brady blackballs his receivers, but I think Stork is getting close to being blackballed by the quarterback, which is awkward because they work very closely together.
Greg writes, in looking over this team, I think the D is solid and coming along. They'll be fine. Special teams is okay. They'll be fine. The offense is sucking big time. I, for one, am putting it on Brady more than the line. Yes, the offensive line is subpar, but if you watch the games, it's clear Brady is missing receivers regularly. A lot of those misfires have come without pressure getting to him. Does Brady see more ghosts than he used to after getting hit?
Yes.
Seems like one hit ends the game for him as far as accuracy and efficiency. Not jumping off the ledge, just wondering if we are witnessing the end of Brady being Brady.
Well, Paul says no, he'll be fine.
I didn't say he'll be fine.
What did you say?
I think that he is declining. But that doesn't mean I think he sucks.
But he's declining to the point where he's going to dominate the rest of the schedule.
I didn't say anything about domination.
But do you think? But the decline is a reason why they're not that good.
It's a reason, yes.
But it won't be a reason why they won't be that good down the stretch because they'll get better like they always do.
I don't think they'll be that good down the stretch. I think they'll beat the teams like Sunday that they should beat.
I can't wait till we're in Arizona.
But they're going to go on the road and beat the Packers and Chargers in consecutive weeks.
I don't think they'll beat both of those teams, no.
Will they beat either of those teams?
Maybe. We'll see what happens when we get there. Right now, I would say, yeah, they'll beat Green Bay because Green Bay can't move the ball.
I don't think they'll beat Green
Bay. But I don't think they'll beat San Diego the way I've seen San Diego move the ball so far.
They play the way they did the other day.
But that's 3 months from now. A lot can change.
I don't think Rodgers will bounce it off somebody's chest and it'll be picked
off. San Diego's lost Ryan Matthews. Now they just lost Woodhead and they're down to Donald Brown.
Yeah, poor Danny.
I don't know.
Little Danny. Yeah. Loose change. Is he loose change?
Yeah.
Jeff in FLA, while the Patriots defense, here's a proposition, he says, while the Patriots defense boasts 7 first-round draft picks, the offense can trot out Nate Solder. To get better on offense, the Patriots should field their best players. Since Tom Brady displayed his blocking prowess on Sunday, perhaps he could start guard, leaving room for the O's most recent high draft pick to start at quarterback. Uh-huh. Seriously, though, I'm proud of how hard the Patriots played against the Raiders, and Brady's block is an example for the whole team. The defense is for real, and we know the offense will get better. Go Pats!
Right, Paul agrees.
That's an interesting point about the offense. We make a big deal of all the first-round picks. There's one first-round pick on offense. That's a point on your side, Freddie, for Brady. It's not all Brady.
Rob from Florida. Hope? Maybe. But this team
they need talent.
Has the least talented interior line. So bad that if every guard and center got released, all would clear waivers. A receiving core only better than the Raiders and the Jaguars. And with this, the offense is doomed. Tom is not good enough now, as he was in the past, to hide these deficiencies. More talent at receiver would allow the Patriots to have an offense that runs routes instead of using picks and gimmicks. My wife is way more optimistic. She says a 16-9 win is better long-term than a 37-34 win. Maybe she's right. Great show. Look forward to it every day you're on.
I do not think that Stork and Cannon would clear waivers, if we're just going to be serious for a minute.
And I would say that a 16-9 win is better than a 37-34 win just in general, but not always. If they had given up 34 points to the Raiders, I'd be much, much more concerned than I am that they won 16-9. So,
yes.
In general, I mean, if they had beaten Denver the other day, 37-34, that'd be better than beating them 16-9, the Raiders 16-9. I mean,
yes.
There's different ways for different scores, but certainly I think the point is if your defense plays well and they are legitimate, you're going to have a chance to win every game. And I would agree with that.
Gentlemen and Andy, what has Amendola done to be a healthy scratch? I would argue that he appears to run routes well and looks quick, shifty on the field. If Brady threw to him 5 to 10 times in a game and he sucked, then I'm all in with sitting him.
I'm with you.
Tim Wright is not your slot receiver. Andy, stop grasping at straws.
Well, what is Tim Wright?
I would like to see Wright involved more, but he can't block. And yes, Brady needs to play better, accept it.
But in the discussion we were having, if Edelman goes down, who moves into a slot receiver type role,
Amendola.
Because Amendola's he's inactive. You were in the discussion. I shouldn't have to describe it to you.
You were in the discussion.
I think Wright would be next. If he can't fill that role on a backup basis, then I don't know what he
should be able to do that.
Because I thought he was a pass-catching receiver slash, I mean, tight end slash former receiver who made his money in the slot. If he was good, I think he's a guy that there should be some question as to where he's tagged.
I would agree with you that if...
No, he's not. So
Tim Wright should be good enough to allow you, if you so choose, to deactivate Amendola in the event of an injury to Edelman.
And I don't want to deactivate Amendola. Fred is the only one on this panel that wants to.
I don't want to deactivate him.
I am not willing to just cut bait.
Whether they
on
use
that.
Him or not, I don't want to deactivate him because he's better than the other guys. You said that if they don't use him, they might as well have
right,
him inactive.
Right, but I don't,
okay, I don't want him inactive
him.
Even if they're not going to use him. He's better than,
yes,
than the
I'm
guys that would be active in his place.
How do you know?
Wait, I thought you liked Dobson.
I like Dobson, but I'm right. talking about Tompkins.
I'm talking
LaFell.
About Dobson. Dobson's the guy that was sitting last game.
Okay, I think that Amendola is a better NFL. As Andy said, at least Amendola's done something in the NFL.
Well, I don't know what Dobson can do. I'd like to find out.
Right, but
and
they're
if
not
you're
gonna
not going to
use
him either. Amendola, let's throw him out Dobson.
But they're not going to use him either.
Well, then.
When he was active, they threw the ball to him twice.
Yeah. It's all the same.
I know.
They've not been using
not,
all their
yeah,
complimentary receivers.
And I think Amendola at least is a better player and will command more attention to the from the opposition than Brian yeah. Timms.
I guess it doesn't matter who they have in there if they're not going to throw to any of them.
Well, right. that's my point, but it took me an hour and 50 minutes yeah. to get you to say
but
it.
But I don't believe that that's going to be the case. They can't go. They can't continue with this, Paul. They can't.
For 2 years, it's continued. Oh. What are you talking about?
Megan writes in, hope you guys are well. I know the team has started slowly, and we can pretend that they look like this every year, but the offense has never looked this disjointed in a very long time. At this rate, the offense will kick into gear around Christmas. Like many, the biggest problem is the offensive line, and I'm with Andy here. I don't get what they ever saw in Devy. The constant rotation with the O-line is mind-boggling since they had months and months to figure it out. I think Bill has messed up this offseason, getting rid of Mankins and Kelly. I think those are the two glaring mistakes, and in some cases, Mankins, why there are problems.
That's a good point.
What?
If you don't trade Logan Mankins, you don't have any decisions to make.
Except that right guard, but yeah.
Well, I guess Ed Conley would be the
yeah,
right guard.
Yeah, but I still think you have to figure out who your center is, right?
But even...
Brian Stork is the center.
No, but up until this point, you still wouldn't have known.
No, but you made Devy a part of the conversation by trading Mankins, right?
Yes.
He would not have been in the mix for one of your top seven.
Because Cannon would be playing right guard.
Right.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
True. That's
not
true.
Not left guard.
Right. You created the Devy situation.
If you
situation.
Want to go under the reality of yep. Stork.
Right. So, I mean, this is a direct correlation. You traded Mankins and made your line worse, and you haven't been able to fill it, right? Am I being fair in that assessment?
Yep.
So, you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You make your bed, you lie in it.
Yeah, you got cap space, though.
Brian writes in... We are definitely
in a backup slot receiver who no one wants to see play slot receiver.
Brian says we are definitely seeing the beginning of the Brady decline. Don't think he can any longer put the Givens, Amendola, and Patton, LaFell of the world on his shoulders. However, still better than the quarterbacks in 20 other cities. Your opinion on Amendola's missed TD? Well, we talked about that. I contend that was on Brady.
Me too.
Seems to me I that if that was Edelman or Gronk, he sticks it right in there in their gut because pre-cut he was open. Watched all 22, and he had a step on the defender who never made a move to defend until he saw Amendola lay out for the ball. He made his cut and took seven steps before Brady delivered the ball, and I didn't look, and it didn't look like Brady looked anywhere else but at Amendola after the snap. So we held on to the ball a little too long, according to that.
I think
call.
We all agree on that play.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bad throw.
Yep. One more email, then we'll talk to John Rook, who's getting ready for the playbook.
Step inside.
Harold from Thousand Oaks, California, formerly from East Boston. The biggest problem with the Patriots by far.
Sounds like a big change.
Two different places.
is the offensive line. Stop blaming Brady, the running backs, and the receivers. If the offensive line was playing better, runners would gain more yards, and wideouts would have more time to get open, and Brady would have more time to look over the field and find the open receiver. Bottom line, a good offensive line would improve the whole offense. Stop blaming the defense. It's better than last year and will get even better.
Who blamed
the
defense?
No one's blaming the defense.
No one's blaming
no one's blamed the defense.
But you guys aren't sold on them, right?
Well, I would like to see them. I'd like to see him play an offense.
Right,
but I am not blaming the defense at all. You can only beat on the teams that you play.
Right. John's here. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. Better than the offensive line today.
Yeah, I guess they seem to be the guys that are getting most of the blame, I would say.
I think probably rightfully so.
Yeah.
I don't really, you know, it all has to start up front. You hear that, you know, said, what, a million times if you've been around football for any length of time. You know, everything starts with what's up front. It starts with the line of scrimmage. It starts with the guys that do the blocking, the protecting, the, you know, everything else. And creating holes for the running backs, giving your quarterback time. It starts there, and it's in complete and total disarray right now.
Yeah.
You know what we need? We need one of those Dante pep talks. Where he tells us to relax.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Jordan Devey's going to be fine. This is nothing that Matt Light didn't
go through. You remember Matt Light? I just see the glasses half full.
I mean, can you imagine if they had lost the
game? You know who else could use Tonte Scarnecchia?
Jordan Devey.
Well, I mean, that's, I guess, you know, part of the problem. But, you know, you are early. The one thing that I think that would probably be difficult for a lot of us to handle right now are knee-jerk reactions. I mean, I heard you mention earlier, Andy, about, you know, I'm not so sure this team has, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you said something the like of, I'm not sure how much talent this team has, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would also join you in that argument, but at the same time, how could we be that far off from what we saw during the OTAs and the camps this summer as compared to now? There's clearly a disconnect somewhere.
Well, I think for me personally, I was assuming Gronk was going to be better, right? Just roll out kind of like he did last year, and he'd be your guy, and you throw to him, and he'll carry
but
you.
But even coming off of the major injuries he's had, I never assumed that myself.
I did. I
never assumed that.
I didn't think his – ACL always bothers me more with corners, wide receivers, lateral movement guys. I thought he's just a big dude in the middle of the field. You throw
but he still has to cut.
You're right, and I was wrong. He certainly is less of what I expected from him. And I think that's what everybody was saying, because last year it was Edelman and Gronk. If you had and Gronk, you were good.
Why then, in particular, to the point of, I think, the conversation over the course of the next couple of days on the offensive line, why then were the miscalculations on the offensive line so apparently, you know, strong and great? I mean, it couldn't have all been Mankins.
Just to, you know, you talked about going back. How could we be wrong about the OTAs and the minicamp?
Yeah.
They're not blocking anybody then.
Well, I think
so. I didn't know that they had these kinds
of things.
But
the offensive
that
line
might also go to a larger problem.
The,
you know,
the issue
right?
with
well,
the offensive
can't
line
block
did not start
either.
This year.
What
the issues with the offensive line did not just start.
No,
this year.
As a matter of fact, everybody has been talking about that. This was a big.
Oh, but
topic
we got rid
the
of the guy who gave up the 11 sacks.
Right. Well, I was going to leave my
snark.
I was going to leave my snark at home and just say. We had a lot
Why
of that.
Start now?
We had a lot of that in the post game show, and people say, "Oh, he's getting killed." I agree. He's taken more heavy hits than I can ever remember, and I think he's been under more pressure than I can ever remember.
Brady?
But the fact is, he was sacked 7 times through 3 games last year, and he's been sacked 7 times through 3 games this year.
Yep.
Those are the facts.
And you know, you go to that Cincinnati game last year, and the offensive line, whether it was communication or talent, looked horrible. Even when, you know, they block guys, they were being pushed right into Brady's face. I can remember Wendell just, you know, on top of Brady.
Think they've ever had what I would consider to be a great offensive line. I think that they've played better than others at times, but I think it's been a unit that's always been extremely well coached and made to look better by Brady's quick decisions.
Could be.
And I think that part of that is Brady.
Yeah.
Part of it. Part of it, not all.
He does. I agree with a lot you guys have talked about today. He does have some of the blame on his shoulders. There's no doubt because he has been the franchise, and he's going to do a better job of recognizing. But it's a problem that's a huge catch 22 right now. There's no blockers. He's got receivers that he's not entirely comfortable with. He has to get rid of the football way sooner than he wants to because he has no confidence in what the offensive line is doing, and so he wants to hand off the ball. But there's then no holes for the running backs to run through. Right. It is a complete and total catch 22. And if you don't know what that means, go read a book.
Right.
Ooh,
right.
Wow. That took a harsh turn.
John Rook about to give a lesson on Patriots playbook. And then after that, we have the fantasy guys here to answer your fantasy questions for week 4 coming up. As for us, we'll be back tomorrow at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.